The Pasuk in Beshalach, in yesterday's parsha, says, Vayisu Misukos V'yachna V'esam B'Ktzei HaMidbar. V'Reshem Holech Lefneihem Yomam Ba'amud Onon L'Ancholsam HaDerach. Okay. V'Laila Ba'amud Eish L'Hoyer Lohem. L'Leches Yomam V'Laila. Okay. So it says that Hashem holach lefneim yomam, and then it says ba'amud onon lanchos amaderach. So Rashi explains. Rashi says lanchos amaderach. What does it mean lanchos amaderach? So Rashi says nokut patach shehu kmo lahanchos on. It says afkan. Lahan chosam, kmo liroschem baderach laharoschem. Afkan lahan chosam. So lahan chosam is different than lin chosam, because lin chosam would mean that the subject is doing it directly, but lahan chosam means to create a situation. Lahan chosam. To create a situation where they have guidance. That's what Rashi explaining. So Rashi's saying, that's why it says, Lanchos on the Torah is very, the diktakir is very important. It's Lanchosom means, Lahanchosom means to create a situation where there is guidance. So what does that mean? Lanchosom al yedei shaliach. That's what Rashi explains. That the diktuk shows that it's al yedei shaliach. Lahan chosam, to create a situation where they have guidance, which is, how do they have guidance? Al yedei shaliach. Okay? That's what Rashi explains. It says, Umiyu ha-shaliach, who is this shaliach? Amud ha'onon. Okay? So far Rashi is clear. Okay? Then Rashi goes on, he says, Va'kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo molicho lefneihem. Okay. So, yeah, had Rashi stopped at that point, we'd feel understood what the pasuk means. But Rashi goes on. It says, Va'kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo molicho lefneihem. Okay. So what does that mean? So, Va'Hashem holech lefneihem yomam. Rashi's explaining that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo. Ba'amud onon, with an amud onon, lahanchosam haderach. So the amud onon was created in order, was a shaliach created in order to guide them. But Rashi's saying the first part of the pasuk, that Hashem holech lefneihem yomam, also has a plays a role here. Which means that he says is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo, molicho lefneihem. Okay, all right. So I mean, we know it's an abstract idea, but all right, requires interpretation. Okay, but then Rashi continues the last part of Rashi, which makes it really difficult. He says umikol makom es amud ha'onon. Heichin lanchosom al yodo. He says, Mikol makom. Nevertheless, the Amud Ha'onon, he prepared the Amud Ha'onon. God prepared the Amud Ha'onon. Lanchosom al yodo. Sharei al yidei Amud Ha'onon heim holchem. So I just don't understand Rashi. What was Rashi talking about? I mean, does he mean to say that we understand that is a shaliach? So the Amud Ha'onon is a shaliach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo molicho, so we can interpret that to mean that, of course, the source is, kvodo means, when it says molicho is kvodo, it means that it's manifest, that it was through Hashem. So had Rashi stopped before mikol makom, so that's what we would interpret. That is the shaliach, but of course, it was manifest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo molicho. Is manifest that this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if that's the case, then everything is fine. So why does Rashi have to continue and say, what's umikol makom, Rashi says? ומכל מקום אס עמוד האונן היכן. He prepared the Amor HaOnan lahanchos amaliyot. What is in the Kol Makom? What's missing? What is in the Kol Makom there? Okay? That's a difficulty in Rashi. Yeah, the Ramban, it's a difficult Rashi, very difficult Rashi. Okay, the Ramban also had difficulty with the pasuk. I mean, the Ramban also felt the pasuk demands an explanation. So Ramban said like this, because the pasuk says, because they're both bothered by the same problem. What is Vareshem Holich Lefneim Yoma? So the Ramban says like this. He says Kvar Amru Shekol Mokom Shenema Vareshem Hu Uveis Dino. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a reference to a concept of Beis Dino. So Ramban explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu imoyim bayom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them bayom, u Beis Dino balaylo, and the Beis Din nighttime. In Cain, he says, so the Ramban says, if that's the case, because he's quoting a Medrash, Gracious Rabbi. So he says, if that's the case, Pirush HaKosev, the interpretation of the Pasuk is, Shehashem Shochein B'soch HaOnan. Okay? V'holechu Lifneim Bayom Ba'amar HaOnan. Okay. So, I mean, it's very important over here that you read this correctly. Not Shehashem Shochein B'soch HaOnan. That's a min. I mean, that's minus. So it means shehashem. Shehashem means the shame means the concept of midas harachamim. That's what the shame is, an idea. Like Taisvis Hashem Shochem Besochana. It means that the Onon manifested the midas harachamim. That's what the Ramban means. The shame. The shame of the of Midas HaRachman. You have that, for instance, in Taisvis in Yuma says that we say on our shame chatasi in the period of Yom Kippur on our shame chatasi avisi peshat l'fanecha, and then it says on our Rambam's gear says on our shame kapano l'chatayim v'lavanas l'pshoyim. But the Taisus quotes the Girsus Yerushalmi is Ono Bashem Kaperno Lachatoyim V'Lavonas V'Lavshem. What does it mean, Bashem? It means with the Midas HaRachamim. Okay, so there are two Girsus there. Ram has Ono Hashem straight through. But the Yerushalmi has, the first time is Ono Hashem, and the second time is Ono Bashem Kaperno. What does it mean, Bashem Kaperno? It means with the Midas HaRachamim. Okay, so that's what the Ramban means. If the Ramban expects that you understand the ideas that he's talking about. So he says, Shehashem Shochem B'soch Onon, that the Onon reflected the fact that this was through Midas HaRachem. Okay? That's what the Ramban is saying. And he says, V'holech hu lifneihem b'yom ba'amar Onon. Uvalaylo beis dino shochein ba'amud ha'esh lo'ir lohem. Okay, and he quotes the pasuk: Ketam asher ayin bayin nira ator Hashem va'anon cha'omer aleihem uva'amud onan ata holuch lefnei yomo va'amud ha'esh lo'ir lohem. Okay, so then Rabban continues: Ve'isi be'elish mos rabba ki lo v'chipazon seitzeyu. The pasuk says that in the gula asido you won't go out b'chipazon uvimnusa lo seilechun ki holuch lefneichem arishem. Okay. So he says, so the Ramban says like this, Lisha Ovar, in the past, Aniyu Vezdini Hoyisim Halach Lefnecha. In the past, when you went out of Mitzrayim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Aniyu Vezdini. Okay. Shenemar Vareshem Holach Lefneim Yomam. So Ramban obviously means that you have to finish the Pasuk, because Vareshem Holach Lefneim Yomam is Midas HaRachman. But he means that the reference is really to the end of the Pasuk. Hashem also named Yom Vamesh Leilem, Bamadesh Lanchosmadech, Bamadon Lanchosmadech, Laila Bamadesh Lahoylehem. So Ramban is saying that the Amor Ha'onon is the Midas Harachamim, and the Amor Ha'esh is Beis Dino, is the Midas Hadin. So the Ramban is supporting that idea by the quote from Shmos Rabbah, because Shmos Rabbah quotes the Pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, "Ki lo v'chipazon seitzeyu v'menusa lo seilechon ki holech lefnechem areshem." So it means v'chula. It means like the rest of the Pasuk. That the Hashem holech lefnechem yomam. He means v'Hashem holech lefnechem yomam v'chula. Means the rest of the Pasuk. Ba'amor onon lanchosim v'derech, which is midas harachamim, uva'amor eish lohoyer lahem, which is midas adin. Okay, so he continues, why is this so? He says, avalosid lavo, but in the gula asido he says, avalosid lavo ani levadi. Kodesh Baruch Hu levado. What does it mean, levado? Shenema ki holech lefnechem arashem u'ma'asifchem alekei Yisrael. That's what the pasuk. That's the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So he says. So the Ramban says the sod hamedrash. And what is the sod of this medrash? The medrash has that kasher is karti. He says, like I explained, ki begu'ula harishona on the first geula, that's geulas Mitzrayim, hoya kadosh baruch hu imayim bayom. So God was with them bayom. What does it mean? God was with them bayom. It means the midas harachmim was bayom. Ubezdino imoim balaila. But balaila, the Amor Ha'esh, was midas adin. Okay. Avalosid lavo. But in the future, tis'ala midas bezdino barachamin. Then the midas adin will be nis'ala barachamin. He says, Vadashem holech lefneim, Hashem ha'miyuchad. The Shem ha'miyuchad. Ke'elike Yisroel ma'sifchem. Ma'asifchem, okay? Imo, v'laylo kiyom yoyer kachashecha ka'ora. That's a lashna kasuf, and means it's a metaphor. Kachashecha ka'ora. Ki hakol b'midas rachmim miyucheres. Because in the gula asida, it'll all be with the midas, special midas rachmim. Okay, that's the Ramban. So I just would like to understand. I mean, it's a you know, what is the Ramban? What are the ideas behind this Ramban? And what is Rashi really? Getting back to the question in Rashi, the problem in Rashi. So, yeah. There's another Rashi, an interesting Rashi. Later, the Pasuk says like this, that... Pasuk says that Akash Baruch Hu told Moshe, "Hem and Hashem Moshe, Ma Titzak Eloi, Dabra Bnei Yisrael v'Yisrael." Okay, Vatahor Mesmatchon Teisot Chol Yom Uvakayu V'Yivel Bnei Yisrael V'Sachem Yom V'Asher. V'Ani Hinni Mechazek Eslev Mitzrayim V'Yavo Achrayim. V'Kovda B'Far V'Chol Chelo B'Rich Bo V'Farashov. V'Yodah Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem B'Kovdi B'Far B'Rich Bo V'Farashov. So he told them to move in a way that the Mitzrim will think they're confused, and the Mitzrim will chase after them, and then the cover for Aviyadim, the cover for Chalchel, Brichba for Rashi. So Pasuk Efrus Aliyas, Vayisa Malach Olekim. Haholech lifnei Machane Yisrael, the Malach Olakim that was going before Machane Yisrael, vayelech me'acharem, and it went in back of them. Vayisa amod ha'onon mipneihem, vayamod me'acharem. So what is this? What is this Malach Olakim? Okay, the amod ha'onon we know. So Rashi explains. Rashi says like this. Yeah, Rashi says, Vayelach me'achareyem. So Rashi says, lahavdil bein machane Mitzrayim uvein machane Yisrael. Ulekabel chitzim ublistros. In other words, that the Onon protected them because the chitzim and the blistros that were aimed at Klal Yisrael, in other words, the arrows and all the things that were shot, the rocks and things that they attacked the Egyptians were throwing at the Jews, attacking the Jews with, so the Amud Onon protected them, received them. So now Rashi says, "B'chol makom hu omer malach Hashem, v'kan malach olikim." So apparently Rashi learns, because Rashi says later, "What is it?" See, it's a little bit confusing because the pasuk says, "Vayisa malach olikim ha'olich l'fnei machane Yisrael vayelach me'acharem." Then it says, "Vayisa amud onan l'pneim vayamo me'acharem." So what are the two things? So the way I understand Rashi, what Rashi is saying is that it's haynu hach. It's not two separate things. Because Rashi says over here like this, "Lahavdil be machane Mitzrayim uve machane Yisrael, ulekabel chitzim ublistros." Okay, so it protected them. Now later Rashi says that what Rashi says in Yisrael. So Rashi says, "Va'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim va'vi eschem eloi." That's in Yisrael, Revi, pasuk Dalet. So Rashi says, "Va'esu eschem." He says, "Al kanfei nesharim." So Rashi says, he says the marshal of the Nesher. So he says that the Nesher travels high. So therefore, the Nesher places himself between his offspring and between the dangers of the chitzim, of the shooting arrows from below. He says, "So afani osisi kein vayisa malach olakim." Vayovo bein machane Mitzrayim. Vayu Mitzrim zorkim chitzim va'avne blisteros va'onon mekablon. So you see, Rashi learns that the Malach Olakim is identical with the Onon. So the pasuk says. So the pasuk is repetitious. Vayisa Malach Olakim ha'holuch l'fnei machane Yisrael v'yelch me'achareihem. That's the same thing as Vayisa Amud Onon mipneihem v'yama me'achareihem. Because that's the Malach Olakim that Rashi already explained before, which is the Shaliach, which is the Amud Onon. Correct? Right? Okay. So why the repetition? So Rashi explains. Rashi says, "B'chol makom hu omer Malach Hashem." Always it says Malach Hashem with Shem Avar. "V'kan Malach Olakim." Why does it say Malach Olakim? So Rashi says, "Ein Olakim b'chol makom el adin." Olakim means Midas Adin. Malamed Rashi says, Shehoyu Yisrael Nesulin Bedin, Ba'os HaShoah. So Klal Yisrael at that time were Nesulin Bedin. Amazing Rashi. Im Lehinatzel, question was, would they be saved? Im Lehi Oved in Mitzrayim. To be destroyed with the Mitzrayim. So Klal Yisrael was Omed Bedin. In other words, Yetzias Mitzrayim was not a simple matter. Wasn't simply that we just were saved from the Mitzrayim. But it was a question. It was a question whether we should be saved or be destroyed. Omed Bedin, whether we should be destroyed with them. It was an amazing Rashi. So that's how Rashi really answers the puzzle. So Rashi says that's why the pasuk is not repetitious. Vayisa malach olakim ha'elech lefnei machane Yisrael v'yelech me'achareihem. Vayisa amaron mitneihem v'yamo me'achareihem. It really is the same phenomenon. But the Torah is speaking on two frameworks. One is in the metaphysical framework in terms of whether they deserve to be saved or not. And the other framework is in the framework of the Malach, which is the thing that Hashem created, the Amud Onon, to function as a protection. So that's why the Pasuk repeats itself. Of course, it's the same phenomenon, but the Pasuk is telling you that this Onon is a Malach Olakim. And a Malach Olakim is something which is Ashgachas Hashem, and that's not a simple matter. If the group or the individual deserves Hashgachas Hashem, That's not a simple matter. And over here we see that Klal Yisrael at that moment was, at that moment Klal Yisrael was Omed Bedin. The question was, should they be saved or should they not be saved? That's what Rashi explains. Okay? Yes.
Before you said that
that's true. You can't hold Rashi responsible for the Ramban. Okay? Ramban had his own approach. I mean, Rashi, Ramban says that Malach HaLakim, the Amoronim, was Midas HaRachman. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi led Malach HaLakim is the Amoronim. And why does it say HaLakim? But I'm going to show you that it really does make, it's not really a major difference. There's not really a major difference. Okay. Yeah, because Ramban learns on that pasuk, it means the Midas HaDin. Ramban on that pasuk itself talks about it. But Rashi, you can't hold Rashi to the Ramban. I mean, Ramban is giving his own approach. But I'm just bringing in Rashi because I want to show you what that Rashi over here demands. I mean, the question that we asked on the first Rashi is not a simple matter, but you see, you need some further knowledge and further understanding in order to explain that first Rashi. So I'm using Rashi himself, Lishitasa. Okay, but you can't ask a question from the Ramban on Rashi. Okay. Yes, so what is... So the question is... Well, let's get back to the first Rashi. Okay. So basically what Rashi is saying... Yeah, so let's get back to the first Rashi now. With the insight we have from the second Rashi. And Rashi, the second Rashi is very close to the Ramban. Very close to the Ramban. First you read the Rashi over here in the Ramban, it sounds like the world's apart. But you see that Rashi is not so far apart because Rashi himself mentions the fact that there's a problem here. As soon as you see Midas Adin means there's a problem. Okay, and Rashi himself mentions that in Yetzias Mitzrayim there was a problem of Midas HaDin. The question of from which psukim are Morah, which psukim and exactly the exact form, I mean, that's a question of the Mefarshim. What I want to show is that the idea, the underlying idea, there's no disagreement on the underlying idea. Question of how you dashen it. But the underlying idea, they're both Morah. That in Yetzias Mitzrayim there was a serious problem. Okay. Now, but the question that bothered us at first, in the first Rashi, if you remember, the question was simply, I mean, what's the pshat? What's the pshat over there in that first Rashi? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo is molech the Amar Onon? Fine. All right, but what is a mikom makom? What does Rashi say, mikom makom? He answered the question already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says b'chvodo and the Amar Onon is the shaliach. Yeah. So there's another pasuk that you have to see in order to understand. The pasuk is in Devarim Aleph Lamed Beis. In Devarim Aleph Lamed Beis, so the pasuk says like this: when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, so he repeats the incident of the Meraglim. And he says that they were frightened, and they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael to conquer Eretz Yisrael. He says, "V'am alechem lo satzum lo sirmahem." So Moshe says, "I told you not to be afraid of them." Hashem alakechem aholich lufnechem hu yilochin lachem kechol asher osu itchem mitzrayim lenechem. And then he goes on. He says, "Uvamidvar asher ro'isu asher nesochad Hashem alakecha kasher yisu ish es beno b'chol aderech asher alachtam ad bochem ad amakom hazeh uvadover hazeh einchem aminim bar Hashem alakecha." When it comes to go up and conquer the land, you're not mamin. Bar Hashem alakecha. Haholech lifneichem baderech losur lochem makom lachanoschem. Okay. Bo'esh laila laroschem baderech asher telchuvo. Okay, so this pasuk already has a breakdown of what Rashi is discussing in the pasuk of Mishalach. But Hashem holach lefneihem yomam. See, the pasuk says, "Haholach lefneichem baderech losu lachem makom lachanoschem." Then the pasuk says, "Bo'eish laila laroschem baderech ashetelchuvah uveonon yomam." So the pasuk has three things, correct? Yeah. So this pasuk really clarifies what Rashi is saying. What does Rashi mean? Rashi means that Hashem holech lefneiham yomom is like the pasuk says over here. Holech lefneiham baderech losol lechem makom lachanoschem. What does it mean? It means it wasn't enough to have the Amud Anon. The Amud Anon wasn't enough. Because what is the Amud Anon going to do? He's going to tell him where to go. So, I mean, that's where to go is hardly enough for Klal Yisrael to survive in the Midbar. So they would perish in the Midbar, even if they knew where to go. So in order to go through the Midbar, what was necessary? What was necessary was unbelievable Hashgachas Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu says many times. Can't remember Midbar Sharis, the pasuk says, "Nochash Sarf the Akra V'Tzimoyin Hashem Moyin." All the different problems and the on because the heat of the day and the and all the things that were necessary, all the many various things that were necessary for Klal Yisrael to survive in the Midbar. Which would not be possible for them to survive unless the Hashgachas Hashem was manifest in infinite ways, many in order that they should be able to in an infinite manner, that in order they should be able to survive. So Hashgachas Hashem over there was a manifestation of the Hashgachas Hashem of his infinite Hashgacha. So that's what Rashi said. That's exactly what Rashi said. Vamidbar she roisa she nesocha Hashem lekecha kasha yisu eshes bino b'chol haderech shalachtam ad barchem l'makom hazeh haolech lefneichem baderech losu lechem makom lachanoscha. It means to set a place for you to camp, which means all the things that are necessary. Kasha yisu eshes bino. All the manifestations of Hashgachas Hashem that were necessary. So that's now take a look at Rashi again. You see Rashi's sign. He says, Lanchosa Maderach, first he shows that it was the Anon. The Anon is Al Yedei Shliach. So he says, Afkan Lanchosa Madei Shliach. Then he says, Vakarish Baruchu Bechvodo Molicho Lefnehem. What does that mean? That means that Akarish Baruchu with his Hashgacha, that was necessary in multifarious ways, many ways, in order that they should survive, went before them. Losu lachem makom lachanoschem. In order to make sure that they have a place to dwell, a place and a place where they can survive. So that's Hashgachas Hashem, which manifests Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Midas HaRachamim. Okay, so that's what Rashi says. Since that's the case, so Rashi says, so the Amud HaOnon now is reduced in stature. You see, the Amud HaOnon is reduced in stature. Because what's the Amud HaOnon? Just to show them how. So, I mean, that's a very small thing in comparison to the Nisim of Hashem, that was necessary and that he brought about in order that Klal Yisrael should survive in the Midbar. So what is the Amud HaOnon? Just to show them where to go. I mean, it's a small thing. I mean, and Moshe Rabbeinu could have told them where to go before. What is the Amud HaOnon? What is the Amud HaOnon necessary for? So that's what Rashi says, Umikol Makor. In spite of the fact that the way was prepared for them in the Midbar, through Hashgachas Hashem, and through the many different things that were necessary, and Klal Yisrael wasn't even aware of in many things, in order that they should survive. So that expression is the greatest expression of Hashgachas Hashem. So what was the Amud HaOnon? Wasn't necessary for the Amud HaOnon? So what do you need the Amud HaOnon for? The bigger, the greater thing was HaKadosh Baruch Hu Holech Lefneihem. That was the greater thing. So that's what Rashi says, Umikol Makom. Nevertheless, he says, Es Amud HaOnon Heichin Lanchosam Al Yodo. Still in all, it's a good kasha. Why was it necessary? But nevertheless, that's the case. Sharei Al Yedei Amud HaOnon Heim Holchem. Okay? Sharei Al Yedei Amud HaOnon Heim Holchem. So what does Rashi mean to say? So Rashi says it's a good kasha. Really, Hashgachas Hashem was necessary in the greatest way. So what was this Amar Anan? What was necessary for Amar Anan? He says Mikol Makom. That was God's Hashgachah. That was Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgachah. That the Amar Anan should be the thing that led them. So what is the answer? I mean, why is that so really? What do you need an Amar Anan for? Moshe Rabbeinu could have told them which way to go from the four. I mean, it wasn't necessary to have the creation of an Amar Anan. So what's the answer? What's the answer?
It was for the people.
Exactly.
It was
a chesaron in the people, a weakness in the people that necessitated an amud ha'anon, so they should constantly be able to remember that it's Hashgachas Hashem. That is Hashgachas Hashem. That's what Rashi says. Umikol makom, even though there was this unbelievable manifestation of Hashgacha, in order that they should survive in the desert, but mikom, that wasn't enough for them. Mikol makom, still in all, Klal Yisrael required the Amar Anan as a reminder, because of their weakness. You see, as a reminder that this is Hashgachas Hashem. You see. That's an amazing. That's what Rashi's saying. So. And that's why Rashi says later, "Vayisa malacho lekim, aholich lefnei bnei Yisrael, vayelach me'achareim, vayisa amur ha'onon b'pneim, vayelach me'achareim." That's exactly what the pasuk is saying. That was a midas adin. What was the midas adin? The midas adin was at that time there were only bedin. Whether to go under with the Mitzrayim or whether to be saved. Why? The Amar Anan. The Amar Anan was the thing that was mekatreg aleihem, because they couldn't see the Hashgachas Hashem, and it was necessary to have a physical reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through his galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu and through his hashgacha that they're surviving. That was the weakness of Klal Yisrael. You see, the Amar Anan was a manifestation of their chasar. And that's why Rashi's explaining, Omikol Makom, he says. But still in all, even though Var Hashem Ha'alech Lefneihem is his great hashgacha, but Mikol Makom, nevertheless, what was necessary for them was, unfortunately, that wasn't enough. So they had to have the reminder of the Amar Anan showing the direction, to remind them that it's Hashgachas Hashem that is bringing them through the Midbar. That's the pshat in Rashi. Okay? Yeah. Yes. And you see, interesting, you see the Torah really shows you a little more clearly. The problem emerges a little bit later, because if you take a look by the month, so by the month, so Klal Yisrael complained, says Vayisu Me'elim, and they came to Midbar Sin. And Midbar Sin, Bachmisha Sion Lachodesh Hashem, let's say some Eretz Yisrael, a month later, Vayilonu Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rambam Midbar, Yemalei Bnei Yisrael, Miyitim Vesein Viyad Ad Hashem, B'Yeretz Yisrael, B'Shiftein Al Sira Bosa Bachlein Alechem Osova, Ki Otzei Sem Osonu Al Midbar Azeh Lohomis Es Kol HaKol Azeh Barav. What did they say? They said that it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's you. Ki yotzei sem osonu ala midbar azeh lahomis es kol hakol azeh barav. So you see that in spite of the Amar Anan, in spite of the Amar Anan, and in spite of the Hashgachas Hashem, still, nevertheless, they deny that it was the Hashgachas Hashem. And they blamed Moshe and Aaron. Okay, that was one of the things. Yeah. So, and in the mon itself, it's so the you see in the answer, of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. Moshe said like this. He says, "Vayama Moshe, b'seis ad Hashem lochem b'erev bosol lechol, v'lechem b'boka lesboa, b'shmo ad Hashem eslunoseichem asher atam malinim olav, v'nachnu mo lo lenis lunoseichem, k'yal ad Hashem." You see? So, "Vayama Shalan, emol akadas n'okiru v'n Hashem, k'shama eslunoseichem." So, and then the post says, "Adab Hashem 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 Mati Yisrael Mesal Daber Aleim Lema Beino Abayim Tochlu Vasser Vaboka Tispu Lochem Yidatav Kineir Hashem Alekechem." So, in the Mon, there were really two things in the Mon, but we'll get back to the Mon. Mon was two things. One thing was the Taina against Moshe and Aaron. That was one thing. And the second thing was the fact that they were not Mestapkim. They weren't satisfied with what they had. So the answer in the Mon was really two answers, but we'll come back to that in a minute. But I wanted to bring it in because I wanted to show you that you see from the Pasuk that was their weakness. That was their weakness. The weakness of Klal Yisrael was that they couldn't recognize the manifestation of the Ashgacha. And that's why the Amar Onon was given to them. And in spite of that, you see there were, it didn't work. In many instances, okay, when they became weak, so it didn't work, so they denied the Ashkenaz. But that pshat, yeah. So, and the Ramban is really saying the same thing. See, the Ramban is saying the same thing. The Ramban is saying that's exactly why, like I said, the Ramban and Rashi don't argue in the underlying ideas. The Ramban is really saying the same thing. He's saying, Midas harachamim bayom, or Midas adin balayla. What does it mean, Midas harachamim bayom, Midas din balayla? What it means is, because Laila is din. Because Laila is din. But it means to say that they were taken out of Mitzrayim not in a simple manner because they were deserving of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You see, it was Midas Arachamim, but it was Midas Adin as well. So the Ramban explains that's what the Psukim are saying. Ki Hashem Mishochein B'Socha Anon. So the shame means the midas harachamim, and the aish was the midas hadin. The aish was the midas hadin balayla. So he means to say what the Ramban is trying to explain is that they weren't deserving of geula, and that's why the Ramban quotes the Medrash, because he says that was in geulas Mitzrayim. In Gulas Mitzrayim, it was Aniyu Vezdini, which means to say that it was problematic because they weren't deserving of Gula. So there was a Midas Harachamim, but the Midas Adin means they really weren't deserving. But Lo'osid Lovo will be Ani Levadi, means that they will, it'll be a different kind of Gula, and it'll be a Gula with the Shem HaMeyuchad. With the Shem HaMiyuchad. Okay, we'll get back to that in a little while, what exactly it means by the Shem HaMiyuchad. But meantime, I want to show you that with an understanding of the Psukim over here, the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu by the Meraglim becomes very clear. Because the Tefillah is like this. Once you understand what the Amar Onon is, that the Amor Onon was really necessary because of their weakness, so the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu is very understandable. Moshe Rabbeinu says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu's Tefillah by the Meraglim. He said, where Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Akenu badeva varishenu ve'esa oscho l'goy godol v'otzum mimeno. So that was by the Meraglim. Vayoma Moshe el Hashem, v'shomu Mitzrayim, ki eliso v'chochach v'asa omazeb mikirbo. So Mitzrayim will hear, and part of Yitzis Mitzrayim was that Mitzrayim should recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yod Mitzrayim ki eni Hashem. V'omru, Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'omru el Yoshe v'oretz hazos, shomu ki ad Torah Hashem bekerav v'omazeb. Asher ayin ba'ayin nira ator Hashem. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it manifest to them. Va'anoncha omed alehem. Uva'amud onon ato holech lefnehem yomom. Uva'amud eish loylo. Again, the amud onon bayom, amud eish loylo. Ve'imato esu oma ze ki ish echad. Va'omra goyim asher shomu es shimacho leimo mi bilti yechol asher Hashem lovi es amazeh. That'll be a chul shmar gavol. So what was the argument? So why does Moshe say v'anon chomalenu v'amar onan atal chfneim yom v'amar eish loyla ve'imata sa'oma zekish echad? What's the tzuruf between the amar onan ve'imata sa'oma zekish echad? But the answer is now it becomes clear why. Because what it means is like this. Why was it necessary to have the Amud Anon? Because of their weakness. So therefore, it means that they will say that, what do you mean they were destroyed? Why were they destroyed? Because they weren't good? They weren't good to begin with. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu accommodated their weakness with the Amud Anon and the Amud Aish. So therefore, the Mitzrim will say that it can't be that suddenly that they weren't good. They required the Amud Anon to begin with. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized their weakness, and he made an accommodation for them with the Amud Anon and the Amud Aish. So now they matas omazeh kish echad. So they're not going to say what they got worse. They weren't deserving of Gula to begin with. So then they'll say mi bilti yichalas ad Hashem. So that'll be a Chilul Hashem. So the argument that Moshe Rabbeinu used to save Klal Yisrael was based on the true idea of the Amud Anon, the Amud Aish. That since that's the case, you can't say they'll never believe that they were Chotem. What do you mean they were Chotem? They weren't right to begin with. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that. And he set forth a shaliach, the Amud Anon and the Amud Aish, in order to make it possible for them to leave. So if that's the case, so there's no more answer. So the only answer they'll say is Mibutli Chalas Hashem. Okay. So now I just want to get down to the ideas of the ideas of what's behind the weakness, you see, of Klal Yisrael, and what the Torah teaches us in terms of a Derech HaChayim, I mean, what we derive from the parashas. Because the parashas aren't simply to tell us about Yetzias Mitzrayim. I mean, parashas are limud for every day. I mean, every day is Tar Mesinai. Every day is limud. So if you take a look at the mun. So you see an interesting thing. That again, I mentioned before, that there were two components in the Tlunos Bnei Yisrael with the Mon. And at first sight, they seem unrelated. One component was that they complained, they misplaced their complaint, and they complained against Moshe and Aaron. As if it wasn't the Ashgochas Hashem that took them into the Midbar. And the second thing was they complained that they don't have enough. They're not satisfied. They don't have enough. And they exaggerated because they said, Lahomis eskola kola zeborov. Rashi explains later that Rashi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the mon, so there were two things he gave them. He gave them the mon in the morning, and he gave them the slav at nighttime. So he says, so Rashi explains, he says that, Boker re'isim kvod ad Hashem, the Pasuk says. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they will supply them with their needs, Boker, with their food. Boker risim kvod Hashem b'shamos l'nosechem ad Hashem. So Rashi says, Boker, he says, yeah, he says, lo alakov, Hashem, yeah, elakach amalam. Erev v'idatem ki ha'yecholas biyodo litein tavaschem u'boso yitein ach lo b'ponem me'iros yitnen alochem ki shelo kehogen shaltem oso. He says the boso will give you b'erev, but that's not with ponem me'iros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you aren't pleasing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this. You're not doing the right thing. U'mikeres maleo. V'alechem she'sha'altem l'tzorach b'yirdasa l'boke tirus k'vod or ponov she'yoridu lochem derech chibo b'boker she'yishos lochino v'talmul mailo v'talmul mato k'munach b'kufso. So Rashi explains, what does it mean, boker or isim k'vod Hashem? It means in the morning you'll see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is answering you b'ponim me'iros, which means that you, something that you deserve. You ask rightfully. You ask for lechem. So therefore, it's given in a good time, in the morning when it's time to prepare, and it's munach b'kufsa, it comes like a packaged. So it's a manifestation of the fact, not simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supplying you with your needs, but he's telling you that this was right. This you did right. This you had a right to ask for. But balayla, when you receive the basar, the basar was not right. You asked Shalom Kahogan. It wasn't right the way he asked. Mikeres maleo, and from a full stomach. And Rashi says again, where it says b'seis ad Hashem lochem b'erev basar lecho. So Rashi says basar lecho v'lo lasova. Yeah, he says v'lo lasova. Basar lecho. You should eat basar, but not lasova. He says, "Limda Torah derech eretz she'ein ochlim basa lasova." So Torah teaches a person derech eretz that you shouldn't eat basa lasova. It means a person shouldn't sit down to a meal and just satiate himself with meat, gorge himself on meat. A person shouldn't do that. Yeah, what does it mean? It means this is a not simply a nice thing. I mean, this is limda Torah derech eretz. It's an important thing. I mean, it might not be a lav mitaraisa if you sit down and you gorge yourself on a steak. But it's not the Derech HaTorah. That's like it's like Taisfa says in Ksubas, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, "Go with Yidul Fanecha, Shalona Nasi Ke'etzba Ketana Shalei." So Taisfa says, Yishalmi says, "Ad she'odam mispalel sheyichnas Torah l'soch me'ov," just like a person is mispalel that Torah should go into his being, into his essence. Yispalel shei lo yichnasu ma'adanim l'soch me'ov. Mispalel that he. Yeah, so what is it that he shouldn't, that good food should not go into his stomach? What does it mean? It means to say that there is a wrong philosophy here. You see, there's a wrong philosophy here. What is the philosophy? In other words, the Torah is saying you shouldn't be a gorger. You see, and Rashi explains, I just want to finish Rashi. Ma ro lahorid lechem baboker or boso ba'erev, b'fisha ha'lechem sholu kahogan. Rashi repeats, that was proper, they asked for the lechem. Sheyef sholalotim ala lechem. Person must have lechem. Avo boso sholu sholu kahogan. Why? Shehar be behemos ha'yu lechem. They had many behemos there. He says, va'od, and moreover, sheyef sholalotim below boso. L'fichach nosem lohem b'shas torach sholu kahogan. So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it was a manifestation, an indication to them that they lack in perfection, and he gave it to them, but it was not with panamiros. It was a derech musa. So you see from this Rashi, of course, that when they said that lahomis is called a kol azebarov, that was an exaggeration. Of course, they had many behemoths. So what did it mean? It means they didn't want to use their behemoths, because then they'd be, if they use behemoths, then they have no security at all. So to start shechting the behemoths was not in their mind a possibility. This we have to have. Now what's doing now? So in spite of that, when they asked for lechem, that was still appropriate. That was appropriate. Because lechem, that's Rashi's two reasons. Because first of all, efshir below lechem. Person needs lechem. And that's something which a person requires. But basar is something which you don't require. And besides, they had the behemoth there. So if they wanted basar once in a while, they could have enough basar. So basar was completely shlokah. But you see also, like I said, they exaggerated when they said, l'homis is kol ha'kol zeh barov. But they didn't want to take their behemoths. So the Torah is, so it's an interesting thing. But let's go back now for a moment to the problem. What was the problem? The problem was that in the Mon there were two things mixed in, like two complaints. One was a denial of that it was Hashgachas Hashem, and the second thing was that they were complaining when they really shouldn't have complained, because otherwise. Otherwise, you'll say that why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in a situation where they face Misa? But that's what I'm showing you. Well, they weren't facing Misa, but they had a right to ask, to make a request. But they exaggerated. Said Lahomas Eskola calls Eberov. So that was wrong. That's why the request itself was wrong. Although the request for food, the way the Tlunos were wrong. The fact that it was in the form of Tlunos. But if it was in the form of just a request, that would be fine. So what are these two things? What are the two things, and how does the Mon answer both things? Because they're two separate tainas. One taina is against Moshe and Aaron, and the other taina is that they don't have a supply of their needs. So it's interesting. If you take a look at the Mon, so when Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Mon, so it says like this. He says, the Pasuk says that, so after the complaint, right after the complaint, it says, Yamar Shem Moshe, Hinni Mamti Lachem Lachem Min HaShamoyim, V'yotso Om V'loktu Dvayom B'yomo, L'man Anasenu Hayelech B'sorosi Imlo. What is this? What does that have to do with anything? I mean, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to supply them, fine. What's a Yelech B'sorosi? So Rashi says like this. So Rashi says, Hayelech B'sorosi Yimlo, Rashi explains. He says, Im Yishmeru Mitzvos Atliyos Bo. What is that? Shelo Yosiru Mimenu, that's one. V'lo Yetzu B'Shabbos Lukot. And both things they violate. Okay. There were two things in the mind. One was Shelo Yosiru Mimenu, and one was Shelo Yetzu B'Shabbos Lukot. You see. So those two things answered the two objections. But I want to explain how it works. What it means is like this. What it means is, you see, there were two problems. One problem was that they overestimated their needs. They overestimated their needs. They weren't satisfied. They said they're going to die when it wasn't true. And they demanded basar, which they didn't need. So that was one problem. And they were involved in the fantasy the fantasy of the overestimation of a person's needs, which is a fantasy that everybody has. I mean, so that was one weakness. But there was another thing. The other thing was that their frame of reference was wrong. That their frame of reference was a complaint against people, you see, when really it was Hashgachas Hashem. So it means to say that they were thrown into an infantile state, you see. An infantile state where instead of being open to reality and seeing that this is Hashgachas Hashem, that this is from the Borei Olam, instead, they were in an infantile state, and they complained against the leaders. You see, they complained against the leaders, against Moshe and Aaron. Okay? So, these two chisronos, you see, these two chisronos were addressed in the Mon. And that's what the pasuk says. L'man anasenu hayelach b'sarosim lo, so Rashi says, im yishmeru mitzvos atluyas bo, shelo yosiru mimenu, v'lo yetzu b'shabbos lukot. What does it mean? Lo yosiru mimenu means one thing. It means that they should not be engaged in the fantasy of storing away beyond their needs. You see, that's a fantasy that a person has. That a person feels, how much does he need? Endless amount. So he doesn't have a finite concept of what the bounds of his financial security are. What he needs is the security that he needs. It's endless. So that was addressed in Lo Yosiru Mimen Ad Boker, that you should get over that unreality of storing away when there's no necessity for it. That's an emotion. So that was one thing. That was one mitzvah in the mon. Lo Yosiru Mimenu Ad Boker. And the other thing was Lo Yetzu B'Yom HaShabbos Likot. Why? Because what is the Yom HaShabbos? The Yom HaShabbos reflects the Borei Olam. You should recognize, because the Borei Olam is the one that is supporting you. You see. So basically, in the Mon, both complaints were addressed. One was the fact that they were, first of all, engaged in an unreality because they weren't going to die, they weren't facing Misa, and there was no reason for them to complain about that in the manner they did. That was an unreality. And the second thing was they couldn't face the reality that it's the Borei Olam that is directing them in the Midbar. And his Hashgacha is the one that is providing for them in the Midbar. You see, they deny that. So they reverted to an infantile mode of thinking, which was to complain against the human beings that were involved, namely Moshe and Aaron. You see. So that distortion, the inability to recognize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is supplying you, that inability, you see, was addressed in the Mon, in the Yom HaShabbos. And you see both things, they were over. The first thing was, they couldn't overcome that emotion. And the second thing was that on the Yom HaShabbos, they couldn't believe it. Is this really a manifestation of the Borei Olam? So they, Yatzu min Am Lulkot v'lo Matzor. They couldn't resist. They had to go out. Had to go out and test it. So both problems were addressed, you see. Both problems were addressed in the Mon. So, yes.
The second really is extension of the first.
They're both tied in together. No, but that's not why they went out. They went out to see if it's true that the Mon is really not going to fall on the Yom HaShabbos, because the Yom HaShabbos is Yom Bria Shemayim Varetz. It's Ve'echula Shemayim Varetz V'chol Tzvaam, manifesting the Borei Olam. That's why they went out. See, that's why they went out. Not the same thing. It's two things. But it is the same. If you want to say it's the same, I would say the following. You see, because Rashi says, Linda Torah Derech Eretz. So from the Mon you have a big limud. Linda Torah Derech Eretz. This Derech Eretz is not an unimportant thing over here. What is a Derech Eretz? A Derech Eretz is that a person shouldn't gorge himself on basar. What does it mean? It means it's a way of thinking. Not simply if a person, not, it's not a halacha. Halacha, per se, I won't gorge myself on basar. So I'll eat 90% basar and 10% vegetables. Now, that's not what it means. What it means is it's a derech hachayim. It means a person that gorges himself, what is he enjoying? He's enjoying the abrogation of the restrictions. Yeah. You see? That's what I'm saying. And now I'm going to let myself go. You see, that's the emotion. So, Limda Torah Derech Eretz. The Torah teaches us, and that's the limud from the Mon, that a person should not get caught up in that thinking. You see, and even a mitzvah can be converted to an avera. Like we have Purim is coming up. So Purim could be the greatest kiyum of Kiddush Hashem, the Pirsumei Nisa. But it can also be something which the Torah is not in favor of, which is an outlet, a free moment. Now, that's what Rashi is saying, to be ochel basal asava. It means to forget all the restrictions and just let go and enjoy oneself. See, unfortunately, when a mitzvah gets close to that emotion, the emotion takes over many times. The emotion takes over because it's very difficult. You see, it's difficult. It's difficult for us, but in the same manner, it was difficult for the people in the Midbar. As a matter of fact, I mean, you know, everybody reads the text. So how is it possible that they went out with such nisim and they did these things? For me, I have a different difficulty. How is it possible that the Torah wanted, that HaKadosh Baruch wanted to teach them this idea, which is the highest level, I mean, of existence? I mean, it's a tremendous demand. It's a tremendous demand. But the Torah makes difficult demands on us. But it's a tremendous demand. So that's exactly what Rashi's saying. That a person, the idea of them, what does it mean? It means like this. It means that way of life where the individual looks at the halachos as restrictions and wants to break loose and have a great time, you see, that is the same idea as what they were looking for. They were looking for the busa. You see, that was Sha'altem Shelo Kehogen. Why? Because they looked at it, they could not see, they could not face HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They couldn't recognize that this is Kvod Hashem. Hashem HaHolech Lefnehem. They had to handle it in an infantile manner, in an immature way. So yes, we accept it, but then we have to break loose over here. You see, that's an infantile mode of thinking. But if a person recognizes that everything is from the Borei Olam, there's no need to break away. What's going to break away? Contrary. It's Vavani Karevas Olakim Litov. So he feels happy. He feels fortunate because he has a whole Derech HaChayim, which gives him unbelievable good, unbelievable satisfaction. So the problem with the mon that the people had was that their way of looking at everything was in an infantile manner, and they couldn't see the Kvod Hashem. That's the amud. That's why the amud ha'onon was necessary. That was because of their weakness. You see. So the Ramban is saying, that's what the Ramban is saying. Ramban is saying. And by the way, those two things, like I said, are tied up together. In the infantile, if the person's in the... in Yadis, there are two things. There's a weakness in the midah. You say they lacked in the midas estapkos. Balei Musaf, or midas estapkos, that a person should be satisfied. That is true. That is true. That it's unreality that a person isn't satisfied when he should be satisfied. That we all have that trait. We're all subject to that fantasy and illusion. That's true, but that we're not satisfied. That's one thing, and it's a mistake in terms of the midah itself. Just that there's no reality to it, and that on the contrary, the individual would not even be happier if he has more. That's what it says. Vayamodu ba'omer v'lo hedif amarba v'amamid lo hechzir. That was Rashi's Chazal said that there was a nes gadol. Why? To show that you're making a mistake if you think that more is going to make you happy. It's not going to make you any happier. Not going to be any different. So that's a mistake in reality. But that mistake in reality is a mistake, so to speak, on an ethical plane. But the Torah goes deeper than that. It stems from the fact that you don't see the whole reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the source, you see. So the Torah corrects the person in terms of his midos, but it also shows him that midah operates within a very infantile framework. And the midah, that's why the mind doesn't see it straight and sees it crooked, because he's thinking in terms of man, his existence in terms of man. How much does a person need? It depends. He looks around at other people, and as he makes a decision which is not an absolute decision, but which is a comparative decision. So the world of the relative. He doesn't live in the world of the absolute. So the Torah corrects, the mon corrects a person, the limit of the mon corrects a person on two levels. First of all, it's unreality in terms of his psychological happiness. He's making a total mistake. But moreover, It's a manifestation of the fact that his framework of existence is infantile. And he doesn't want to see the Kvod Hashem, you see. And in that framework, this would never happen. This would never exist. So the purpose is not simply to correct the Midah, but to, through the correction of the Midah, to lead him to a whole different Derech HaChaim and a different view and a whole uncovering and a whole different reality. The reality of the Kvod Hashem. That's the whole purpose. And that was the purpose of the month. So that's what the Ramban is saying. Ramban is saying that initially in the first Gula, in the Gula's Mitzrayim, it was the Onon is Holech Lefneim Bayom, Midas HaRachamim was Bayom, but Balayla, there was a Laila also, and the Laila was Midas HaDen. Why? Because they were unable to really see the Kvod Hashem. It was a conflict. They were in conflict. So they needed things. They needed the Onan. They needed the Amor Eish. So they couldn't live with the reality of recognition of the, in spite of the greatest Galus Hashem in the Midbar, they couldn't see it. You see, they couldn't see it. So the Ramban says that's what the Medrash means. Aniyu Beis Dini. That in Gulas Mitzrayim, it was with Midas Adin. It was the Midas HaRachamim and Midas Adin, both. But La'osid Lavo, Ani Levadi. What does it mean? It means the Shem HaMiuchad. What is the Shem HaMiuchad? The Shem HaMiuchad means the unification. The unification. In other words, the person, the individual that doesn't see the unification is like Klal Yisrael in Yetzias Mitzrayim when they ask for the Mon. It means they didn't see that there's one source. It's all the Borei Olam. You see, they want to see that, so they blame Moshe and Aaron. So they misdirected the blame or the complaint. They misdirected the complaint. Why? Because there was no Yichud Hashem. They didn't see that it's all one source. It's all the Borei Olam. So they couldn't see that. But La'asid Lavod, Ramban says, it'll be with the Shem HaMiuchad, which means that they'll be able to see. There won't be any conflict. They won't have to go into an infantile mindset, you see, which is removed from the recognition of the Borei Olam and places them in conflict and results in certain midos, which are nonsensical, and therefore they'll need the Midas HaRachamim, but they'll have to have the... But of course, it's the Midas HaDin is there. The Midas HaDin is always there. And the only reason that they made it was because of the special Midas HaRachamim. But it says, Lasid love on the Gula Asid Ani Levadi, with the Shem HaMiuchad. What does it mean, the Shem HaMiuchad? It means that there won't be any escaping from the reality of the Borei Olam. And they'll be able to see that everything we have is from the Borei Olam. So they won't live in an infantile mindset, in denial of the Kvod Hashem, in the denial of the Kvod Hashem. So once they see the Shem HaMiuchad, that it's all from one source, you see, then they'll go out, the Ramban says, Bemidas Rachamim Miuchedes. Singular Midas Rachamim. What does Ramban mean? The question the Ramban is trying to explain, what do you mean it's Rachamim for? Because Ani Levadi is Midas Rachamim. He says, yes, Midas Rachman, but that's Midas Rachman Miyuchedes, a very special Midas Rachman, not like the Midas Rachman in Mitzrayim. See, what's the difference? The difference is like this. There's two Midas Rachman. The Midas Rachman in Mitzrayim is that really, in Din, they wouldn't be Zocha because of their infantile mindset and their chesronos, they wouldn't be Zocha. If it weren't for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Rachman, he accommodated. He created the Amud Onon, the Amud Oish, in order to make it possible for them, you see, to assist them in their great weakness. But that's the meaning of Midas HaRachamim in Gulas Mitzrayim. But in Gula Asida is a different meaning of Midas HaRachamim. Over there, the Midas HaRachamim. See, Midas HaRachamim always means where HaKadosh Baruch Hu accommodates the person and it always accommodates the people because of their weakness. But that midas harachman miyacheres is the midas harachman for kol olam kulo. That means that the geula hasido is what is the geula hasido? Klal Yisrael will be deserving of the geula hasido, so they won't need the midas harachman in order to save them because they'll recognize the shem amyuchad. But the midas harachmim will be midas harachmim yuchedes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rachmim for kol olam kulo, and therefore he established Klal Yisrael. Vatam tili mamlechas kohanim v'gai kadosh. That's the midas harachmim yuchedes, the very special midas harachmim for kol olam kulo. That's what the Ramban says. That's loss of love. Loss of love will be a different type of a gula. That's the Ramban. Okay, Baruch Hu, stop here. Just to add clarification, because in other words, midas harachmim yuchedes means Hashem's midas harachmim that He gave, that He created Klal Yisrael for the entire world. That's midas harachmim for the entire world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established Klal Yisrael. So that's midas harachmim yuchedes. Kolo and Kulo. Okay. I had a lot of questions last week on what we did. Because maybe we did too much. I mean, you know, with the, I wanted to tie in the Mon with the Amud HaAnon to show there was a continuity there. With the problem with the same problem that was that necessitated the Amud HaAnon reappeared in the with the Mon. But in doing that, I went through the Mon, and some people felt I went through it too quickly. So maybe we'll just try to clarify some of the ideas in the Mon, because the Mon is obviously a big yesod in the whole philosophy and psychology of the Torah, and the whole system of the Torah. Yeah. So, if you have any questions, you know, feel free to ask them. But just to start, basically what we said was that there were two problems that Klal Yisrael had, and they were both tied in together. One was a problem that... They were unsatisfied. They felt they exaggerated their needs, and because they said we're gonna die baruf when they really had cattle. And so one was a complaint about the needs, but the second thing was a complaint about that they twisted the reality. Which was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim into the Midbar and guided them into the Midbar. And they said really it was Moshe Rabbeinu. They complained that it was Moshe Rabbeinu. And both things were really answered. The Mon is really a multi-layered phenomenon because the Mon really... There are a few things we didn't take up also. I mean, in the whole picture of the Mon. The Mon is a limud on several planes of human existence. It's a guide for a whole Derech HaChayim in Kol HaTorah Kulo, you see. And it's not, certain parts are not for everybody, certain parts are mandatory. But it goes from the most basic thing to the highest level of human existence, and I just like to maybe go over the basic points and then some of the higher level things. Like for instance, it says you had like this. It says. What were the two things that Rashi mentions? He said, of course, the pasuk says that Yelamana Nasenu Yelech Besorosi Yimlo. Right, Pasuk Dalet. So Rashi says, "Im Yishmeru Mitzvah Satluyas Bo, Shelo Yasiru Mimenu." That's one. "V'lo Yetzu B'Shabbos Lilkot." That's two. But it's interesting. There was a third thing also, because the pasuk says that it says "Zeh Davar Shetzivah Hashem" in Pasuk Tazayin, "Liktu Mimenu Ish Lefiochlo," that each person was supposed to take as much as they needed. Omer Lagolgolas, Mispar Nafshos Seichem, for every individual. Ish Lasher Ba'alot Tikachu. So there's a set amount that they were supposed to take. But then it says, Vayasuchem B'nei Yisrael, Vayilketu Hamar Bevamamet. Okay. Then it says, Vayamodu Va'omer, Vlohedif Hamar Bevamamet Lohechsir, Ish Lefiach Lo Lakatu. So Rashi explains that he says, Yesha Laktu Harbe, the Yesha Laktu Ma'at, Ukisha Bowl of Vesam, Modadu Ba'omer, Ish Ish Mashalaktu, Umatsu Shahamarba Lulkot, Lohedif Alomar Lagogolas, Ashe Ba'olo, Vamamit Lulkot, the one that took more didn't have any more. When he came into his tent and he measured it, he says, "V'amamit lilkot," and the one that took less, "lo motza chaser me omer lagogolas," v'zen neis gadol shenasebo. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, so apparently they didn't comply exactly. They didn't comply exactly. So why wasn't that considered a terrible chait? I mean, because you see that. The chait was that it says they were over two averas. Shabbos and also that Vayom Talon Vayivash. Right? Yeah, so yeah, correct. So what's the difference between those two things? That there were marba ba'omer, that apparently was a different thing. Lohedif hamarba v'amamit lohechsir. That was a special nace. Yeah. So what was the purpose of that? But let's leave that for a moment. But the basic idea, we'll get back to that. But the basic idea was that, and this is really the Yesod in Yahadus, that the first thing was that they complained, in other words, that they complained unjustly. So that was an irrational kind of a complaint, which means that they were weak in terms of the amida sestapkus. Okay, that was a certain weakness that they had in terms of assessing their needs. So therefore, and that they were over later when they went and they gathered more, tried to store away long term. So that was a serious that was the man on a son of Yechba Sarosian law. So you see that they were over that. Okay. And the second thing was that what they did was they blamed Moshe and Aharon. So in terms of the first thing that they received the mon, so they received their security every day. Okay, that was one frame of reference that they had the security, and nevertheless, you see, they were over that they continued to try to store away irrationally. Okay, that was one chait. And the second thing was the distortion vis-a-vis the Shechina. In other words, the failure to recognize that the fact that they were in the Midbar was really Yad Hashem. And all the Nisim that went with this great Ashgacha. So that was addressed by the Yom HaShabbos. That the Yom HaShabbos demonstrated clearly, you see, even though they had the mon, but that was something which took care of their needs. That nace, you see, each nace addresses a different state of their attitude. Like, for instance, Ruki Ad Hashem Nasa Lachem Asa Shabbos. So Rashi says, Sharei Nes Nasa B'chol Erev Shabbos, Losein Loseis Lachem Yomoyim. Okay, so that was a separate Nes. So apparently the first Nes was to address the fact that they're overestimating their complaint, that they're going to die, that they're going to die Barov. And that was the mon was enough to remove that. But even then, you see, that was the mon on the center of the Yechbasa Rasim Lo. Okay, so now that's taken care of. Now you have your... But nevertheless, you see, there was the need and the desire to set aside to make sure that they hoard away and have enough for an irrational length of time. It wasn't enough to rely on the daily mon. Okay, that was the first chet. And the second chet, where they simply distorted and they blamed Moshe and Aaron, v'anachnu ma l'olenus l'meslam k'alad Hashem, that was the Yom HaShabbos, was a manifestation that this is really an occurrence from the one who created the universe, from Mishama Vayolam, from the Borei Olam. And that frame of that's a different frame of reference. Okay, now how do the two fit in, these two ideas, how do they fit in? So the way they fit in is that there are two ways for an individual to counter an irrational belief system, where the instinctual convinces the individual. One way is simply to attack the irrational behavior with rationality. Okay? So that is where the individual, that was the hoarding. See, the hoarding was an irrational thing, because if the mon comes down every day, why is there a need to hoard? But it shows you that man has that nature, that he has a desire to, an insatiable desire, for infinite security. And even though rationally he knows that he has enough, but man is prone to that irrational kind of, that's when a person, like Oyev Kesef, like Yispa Kesef. See, that's a psychological phenomenon. That's Kehelas, psychological phenomenon in man. So how does man counter the psychological phenomenon? So there's a way. The way is that his rationality tells him that this doesn't make any sense, and therefore he counters it. That's the mon, that's the Yiridas HaMon on a daily basis. The Yiridas HaMon on a daily basis was simply to counter that irrational attitude. Okay? Yeah. But this irrational desire, and everyone has that irrational desire, that's an endless, he never has enough. Oyev Kesef Yispa Kesef, he always needs more. So this irrational desire can be countered through a recognition of the fact that it's irrational. That it doesn't make any sense. But even though people know it doesn't make any sense, that a person who's a chacham, I mean, it's not an average person, can't do that. An average person will simply will give in to the power of the emotion, and even though he knows he's crazy, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, yeah, he has more than he needs, but every day he goes into business and continues, because that's why you assume men are not shemar ad boker. So that irrational form of activity, that irrational behavior, is part of the nature of man. And it can be countered by simply the individual recognizing that it's senseless, okay? And you see in Klal Yisrael, that was the Yiridas HaMon on a daily basis. It's senseless to keep it, because every day the mon is going to come down. So they're guaranteed the mon, and you see every day it comes down. I mean, you don't need anything more than that to show you that it's the whole thing is an ace, and you see it's coming down daily. But nope, they can't accept the reality. So the irrational behavior was countered with the recognition that this type of emotion doesn't make any sense. Okay? But you see that nevertheless, some people weren't able to do that. Okay, it's not just a limit for the mind, it's a limit for every day. I mean, for nowadays when you don't have the mind, it doesn't make any difference. But the point is, what the Torah is teaching is that a person must take stock of his life, and he can't allow himself to get caught up in something which is unrealistic, which is complete fantasy. And he counters it. That's a method of being kovesh the yetzer. That's kvishas ha-yetzer. Okay? And that's something which everybody knows makes sense, but very few people put into action because they can't, because they're unable to overcome the fantasy and the power of the instinctual. That's one. But the answer to the second dilemma, which was the failure to recognize Hashgachas Hashem, okay, that was the Yom HaShabbos. Re'u ki Hashem nosam lachem es HaShabbos. The Shabbos, Yotzu min Om, the Shabbos, which was a manifestation that this mon is really from Mishom Avay Olam. And this is from the Borei Olam. That's already a different framework. Once that was to address the fact that they denied that the Hashgachas Hashem was really working, was the thing that took them out of, that was guiding them into the Midbar. But they blamed it on human beings. They blamed it on Moshe and Aaron. It's their fault. So that's why I said, Anachnu Ma. We're nothing. I mean, we're humans. Anachnu Ma. Kisalino Leno. This is really from the Borei Olam. So the Yom HaShabbos was the mon that it fell on Erev Shabbos and not on Shabbos and supplied them with their needs was to demonstrate that this chait stems from the fact that they want to deny the fact that this is a directly from the Borei Olam. That's the nature of man is uncomfortable with that idea. That's a difficult idea for him to live with. So the Yom HaShabbos, the nace of the mon of the Yom HaShabbos, was something that nace was created in order that they shouldn't be able to deny that reality. Then once they saw that this is directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the tlunos on Moshe and Aaron fell away. Because then they were able to overcome that denial. And therefore they were able to see that the fact that they were in the Midbar was Hashgachas Hashem. Was Hashgachas Hashem. So that's how the two things in the Mon really remedied the two situations. But the two situations, as we said last week, are really related phenomena. They're not separate things. They're related. Why? Because the instinctual plays itself out against a certain backdrop. See, against a certain backdrop. And the backdrop is the denial of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the person throws himself into the world of the world of the relative and the world of the human. See, into a world where everything comes under the framework of the relative existence of man relative to his fellow man in a kind of a human framework which is based on an infantile kind of a view. You see, where the individual is comfortable within that kind of a framework. And that framework is where the weakness of man acts itself out, plays itself out. So what the Torah teaches in the Mon is two things. It's really that the perfection of the Midos is really expressed in the daily. In the daily Mon, that's perfection of the Midos. But ultimate perfection can really never take place with perfection of the Midos. You see, because the Midos are prone to play themselves out against a backdrop which is an artificial frame of reference, which is a denial of the underlying true frame of reference of the Borei Olam. But once the true frame of reference asserts itself, then the weakness of the Midos have no medium in which to play themselves out. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, like this, that the Mon was a double limud. It was the first limud was that man has to encounter his emotion, and the irrational emotion must be countered by Chachma, and he must be able to see that this is completely irrational in its own framework. But the second idea is that this whole framework, where this whole thing plays itself out, where the irrationality plays itself out, the irrationality has a framework to it, and the framework is a human framework. It's a framework where the person doesn't recognize the Ashgachas Hashem. In that framework of reality of Ashgachas Hashem, these things the emotion can't play itself out. You see, and that's the Yom HaShabbos. That's the Yom HaShabbos. So the Yom HaShabbos is real. That's how the two are tied together. See, the two are tied together. But in other words, so you'll ask me, so what do you have to have the countering of the Midos for? Why don't you just have the Yom HaShabbos? Just have the Yom HaShabbos, and now you have the framework. If a person exists within the framework of reality, the hoarding, it doesn't make any sense. You see, the whole idea of hoarding is only a relative phenomenon. In other words, the good which the individual considers to be a good is a good relative to other human beings. In other words, if a person were living in a state where he were the only one that's existing, he would never have a concept like that. The concept of the concept of hoarding is always in the back of the person's mind. He always thinks of other people. What's their state and what's my state and what would they say? And the whole phenomena, all these phenomena act themselves out against a certain backdrop of the human mind, where the human mind is not living according to a true reality, but is living in the back of his mind is the framework of other humans, you see. And that is true basically in all the taivas that are irrational. And all the taivas are irrational. Most people, in so far as the irrational taivas are concerned, whenever they engage in it, in the back of their mind is, what would others say about this? Or where do I stand relative to others? So without that backdrop, the taivas fall apart, you see. But the question is that if that's the case, so why wasn't it only one limud necessary? The limud of the Yom HaShabbos. But, okay, so it couldn't be with the Mon, because the Mon is going to have a double limud. But the answer is because the Mon teaches man how to work on the instinctual. And it teaches him that he has to work on two fronts, that both fronts are necessary. That one, he has to work on the front of the irrational in terms of the thing itself, you see, and he has to be able to counter it and say that this doesn't make any sense because in its own right it doesn't make any sense because I'm hoarding away things and it's senseless, you see. That's one framework. But then he also has to strive to reach a higher plane of existence. In the higher plane of existence, the taiva simply vanish. You might say that's the difference between Kovesh Yisro and Oved Me'ava. Okay? In the Kovesh Yisro, you have where the individual recognizes that it doesn't make any sense. And he's caught in a dilemma. He says, my life is senseless. I'm doing things that don't make any sense. I'm just wasting my energies. So that's the Kovesh Yisro. But the Oved Me'ava is where the individual recognizes a different kind of framework of existence, which is the framework of the Borei Olam. And in that framework, the hoarding simply doesn't make any sense because he naturally is in a different world of existence, an absolute world of existence, not the relativistic world of existence. And in the absolute world, all these things can't play themselves out. But both are necessary because Yahadus maintains that in order for an individual to overcome the instinctual, you can't simply jump to the, you can't simply jump and say, yes, we'll just, we'll move ourselves into the reality of the Borei Olam. Reality of Borei Olam doesn't make any sense. Then you're in an absolute framework. And in an absolute framework, hoarding these emotions don't exist. They don't make any sense. Okay? They only make sense if the individual in the back of his mind is living in the world of the world of human beings, and in an artificial world which stems from the infantile. You see, in that world of existence, all these things make sense. I have more than him. What would this individual? Other people would say that this is something of value, and therefore he's drawn to it. But he's drawn to it because of the fact that his mental framework is giving it a value because the framework is an artificial one. You understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, but Yahadus recognizes that you can't possibly do one without the other. That the instinctual must be encountered on two levels. And that's the limit of the mind. It must be encountered on the level where the thing itself is recognized as irrational, okay? And it must be countered. That's not enough. That's not enough. That's something that's true will control man. It'll control man. But it won't remove the problem. It will not remove the problem. The removal of the problem is really where the individual enters a different kind of frame of existence, where nobody else plays in his mind, nobody else's lifestyle plays any role, never enters in his mind. But the only thing that he searches for is his own existence in absolute terms. And that is only when he recognizes the Borei Olam and exists in accordance with the nature that God gave him and his natural needs. You see, that's a different kind of human existence. That's already the Oved Me'ava. That's the Oved Me'ava. That's a level of existence that, like the Rambam says, that Avram was the one that was the model of that existence par excellence, the highest level. So the Mon really contains both elements, and the chait of the Bnei Yisrael was tied to both, because that's why they blamed human beings, and they refused to recognize the reality that God had created for them in the Midbar, and because of that, they entered into the world of the absurd kind of activities, you see, and which was desire for the overestimation of their lack of their needs, and also the assumption on national book. So they entered into that framework. So that was the underlying cause. But the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Klal Yisrael, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was melamed Klal Yisrael through the Mon, was the limud of the double approach. And the double approach is that first the thing must be taken on its own level, and then if it is to be uprooted completely, there's only one way where they see in the first level the person is in conflict because he never really removes the cause of the absurd, the irrational desire. Cause is still there, but he counters it with the fact that it doesn't make any sense. You see, but he's always going to be in conflict. Even if he will be, of course, better off if he can succeed in that understanding, because then he won't waste energies in something which is nonsensical. But the thing is always there, the instinct is always there, and always, it's always troubling him, and he always has to counter it. The only real solution is where the individual recognizes that he's in existence of a different order. And he's not, and he simply removes from, he's able to remove himself from the framework and the sphere of thinking which involves man, and he recognizes that he's a unique creature and before the Borei Olam, and he directs himself to his absolute needs in absolute terms. You see, then all these desires simply fall by the wayside. That's the total removal. So that was really the Mon. That's how the Mon resolved both. And it resolved both in a way which was a limud. And the limud was that it must be attacked on two planes. It must be attacked. You can't attack it on the plane of its own internal irrationality, because then you don't remove it. And you can't jump to the plane of existence, that he exists before the Borei Olam, without moving towards the rational and first approaching it in encountering it and recognizing the irrationality of the desire. You see, that's really what the limud of the Mon was. That's really the philosophy of Kala Tara Kula, is in the Mon. That was the limud. Yes. Okay, what we're saying is, like, for instance, you see people that are very secure, okay? That individuals would say if they had that level of security, they'd be very happy, correct? But you see that same person who started out thinking that way, but when he attains that goal, he still finds that he's in the same state of need that he was before, and he continues to go on, okay? So what happened to his original sense, that's the puzzle. I mean, Oyev Kesev Liyas Bekesev. It means to say a person starts out with a rational goal. He has to make a living. And then he says, if I only have a certain amount, then he'd be satisfied. But then when he gets there, he finds that he continues in the same activity, even though, according to his previous assessment, he should have stopped. But not only doesn't he stop, but he continues with the same energy, and many times even with more energy than he did in his first endeavor. So you see, there is an intrinsic irrationality. What propels this irrationality? What propels this irrationality is in his mind the way others view him and where his status is vis-a-vis others. Okay, that's why he keeps on. If he were thinking in absolute terms, he would cease after a certain point. Which point? Probably the point where he first made his assessment that this would be where I would stop. Okay, but the individual doesn't stop, and the individual doesn't stop because of the fact that in his mental framework is not absolute reality anymore. But it's now how do I stand vis-a-vis others? What would others say about this? And in the back of his mind, the value system of others propels him forward and tells him he's really in a state of need because he still hasn't reached the level of this other individual. Okay? So but that's a completely artificial framework.
So you're saying
you follow?
There's no concept of security for security.
That's correct. The person, because if that were the case, nobody would really try to increase his security beyond the point which makes sense. And you wouldn't have people say, well, look at this fellow, he's going out there and he's continuing. You'd say, why is he continuing? If I had that, I'd never go beyond that.
But why isn't just irrational in its own right? Why does it always have to be, then guy can just be irrational about what he desires, what he wants.
Yeah, but the point is there's a source for the irrationality. You can't just say the irrationality has no source. You can't just say the irrationality has no source. The irrationality has a source. In other words, the irrationality is not. It may be irrational, but it's not without a cause. You see, there is a rationality to the irrationality. You could trace it back to some kind of a cause, because nothing happens without a reason. So that, but the mistake that people make, and this is an important concept, the mistake that people make is that in their initial endeavor, where they're facing necessity, they think that the only thing that's propelling them is necessity. You see, but it's not true, because even in the initial endeavor, there is also the irrationality, but they don't recognize it because it's blurred, it's eclipsed by the need. So the need, they'll always say it's the need, you see, but it is not the need. It is really the same thing that will emerge later when the need has been long satisfied and they continue, you see. The continuing was always there. That desire to say was always there. But they were able to deny that when it made sense. So when it makes sense, the person's not going to say he's crazy. He'll say, no, I really need this. You see? But it will emerge later. But interestingly enough, it'll emerge later, not to the person that's involved in it, but to others. Others will say, that doesn't make any sense. Why does he keep going? See, but to that individual, he won't say it. Why? Because he'll say, no, this is a need, because you never know what can happen, and this person has this much, and I don't have what he has, and people have a certain status and a certain responsibility. There'll be all kinds of words and terms that don't make any sense, but they do make sense in terms of the relative. Okay?
And all those always will trace back to someone else?
It will always trace back to what others are thinking, or to will always trace back to the value system that others maintain. Always, it's in the back of their minds. There's always a human evaluation. In other words, what they cannot tolerate is that others will look at them in a way that they're defeated. You see, that is the intolerable thing. In the back of their mind is the frame of reference of others. Like one very, very wealthy individual, Vanderbilt, that said that his life was a horror. Why? Because he said that he was very successful, but he said that he had to give his health and all his energies into maintaining his wealth, because the world was looking at what he's going to do with that wealth. And if he wouldn't succeed, if it would be halved, or if it would just remain the same, so then he'd be a total failure. So what propelled him is the fantasies of others. And that is living in the framework of the relative framework. Okay? It's the framework of the value of man. Okay? As opposed to the absolute framework. And that's why an individual, when he starts off with his needs, but then pretty soon, if he's successful, he's beyond that, and then he's propelled with the same energy, and even sometimes greater energies, to keep going, because of the fact that in the back of his mind, what does this person think? What does that person think? Where do I stand in terms of my status vis-a-vis others? And that's what will propel him. Okay, but that is the world of the relative. That's completely. Then he's completely out of reality. Okay. That's correct. What I'm saying is there is a search for security, but only a really perfected individual will be able to know what that is. I can't give you a set thing. I'm just speaking in terms of how the individual's mind works. There is a real reality, but people are not after the real reality. People are driven. The drive has very little to do with the reality. The reality is really an excuse for the drive. But then when he goes beyond the reality, he'll keep on going even stronger. Because what really propels him is the fact that he's not living in the absolute framework. And that's the Yom HaShabbos. That's the Yom HaShabbos. Yes?
So what's the moment? I mean, it seems there are two...
No, I didn't get to that. I didn't get to that. I didn't do these two. Yes?
Is the
is the pursuit of happiness through possessions, is that different than this? Somebody thinks they'll be happy if they get the next thing. Is that
I would say that Achashverosh is the best example. That Baharosos Kvod Ashro, that the whole purpose is what is to demonstrate what he has. I mean, in the taifas that he has. That was with Vashti. I mean, basically, that was the ultimate. That was his downfall of it. But basically, Achashverosh is a perfect example, and the Megillah is coming up. That's the perfect limud. Achashverosh is that model par excellence of his being motivated completely by what the others believe, what the others think of him, the effect that it has on others. That's basically what it is. But Achashverosh is the extreme example of that. But it doesn't mean that everyone doesn't have that, or everyone is not like him, but he was very successful. Yes?
For the non-perfected person,
yeah.
What degree would you say you should incorporate the idea of there are no guarantees of life with the reality of...
That's a good question. We'll get to that. That's a good question. Yeah.
It's if it fits in with the fact that they still have behemoths left.
Yes.
That's correct. So
that's correct.
That was the relative thing.
That's correct.
The last thing.
That's correct. They wouldn't give a. That's correct. I mean, that's a need that a person has. A need that a person has is, yeah, many times people have security, but they say, that I can't touch. Okay, now that's like it doesn't exist. And now they go into a different plane of need. It's an artificial mechanism. But what Yahadus maintains is that this whole artificial way of thinking is based upon one thing, that the individual is not living in the world of absolute reality, which is a reality vis-a-vis him and him alone, like Adam Arishon. That's why there is no doubt if there was only one individual in existence, it would not make any difference which home he lives in or what car he drives. That you can be sure about. It would have no meaning to him, because the only reason it has a meaning is because of the effect that it has on others. Basically.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Rebbe, I think the idea about the framework of the absolute explains that Moshe was trying to draw them into that. When he says, "V'nachnu ma lo aleinu to seichem ki al Hashem," which on the surface looks like a very funny thing.
That's right. You're right. V'nachnu ma means we're only humans. Humans.
I'm saying the next part of the pasuk, "Lo aleinu to
ki al Hashem." That's
correct. Like your complaint really should be directed against God, which is like a funny looking thing.
That's correct. But that was that. No, that's right. Lo aleinu to seichem ki al Hashem means that your failure to recognize that this is really Maisei Hashem, that this is Ashgachas Hashem, and it's a denial of the Ashgachas Hashem, and its denial is because the individual does not want to live in that frame of reference, in the absolute frame of reference. That's correct. And that's why they chose to live in the human frame of reference, where they blamed people, namely Moshe and Aaron. Okay, do you understand? I mean, it all ties into one thing, that... That's right, the weakness. That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, there's one thing that's correct. That's a very good point. Now, I'd like to elaborate on that. You see, the thing is like this, that we always wonder, why all these Nisim? Why all these Nisim at that time, I mean? And you see, to this day, all we say is Nisim in Mitzrayim, in the Tfilis, Nisim in Mitzrayim, Amaver Banabing Yamsuf, and the Nisim in Mitzrayim again and again and again. But why the Nisim and Mitzrayim? Because the answer is that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a people who was steeped in the lowest kind of lifestyle, and it would be virtually impossible to change them into the world of the true ideas without the Nisim. Virtually impossible. Even with the Nisim, you see, the Nisim only have a certain amount of power effect on an individual, because a nais is still an extraneous phenomenon. It's not an internal. It's not an internal phenomenon. But without the nisim, there could never be a klal yisrael. You can't take people and just talk to them, even rationally, to change them. In order to change them, in order to put them on this level of existence, it's only through nisim. That's why without the mon, you could not do it. Could not be done. Okay? Yeah. Any more questions? Yes.
My question is the same again, why it's a relative phenomenon in search for security. You see the person, at some level, senses that he's a temporal existence or a conditional existence. And I can understand why it's axiomatic that he looks for security, because at some level, he just goes in the wrong place for it. But to say that, why should the axiomatic that the person, the Vanderbilt's only happy if he's pointing to what the other guy's image of him? So why should it be essential to the thing? We should be concerned about that. Human nature is so concerned about what does it stoop for a person?
That's correct.
What the other person looks at.
You want to know where that stems from?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good question. You're a psychologist, you're a little incident. Okay. there is no doubt. I mean, I'm not going to go into extensive psychology, but there is no doubt that stems from the early part of a human being's existence, from early childhood. There is no doubt that is rooted in early childhood. And Chazal say that the Yetzer Hara has a head start on the Yetzer Tov because of man's long stages of development. And it is definitely rooted in the early years of man, where the only value of his existence is in terms of human beings, whether it's the parents, the siblings. There is no question that that's the source. If you want to know psychologically where the source is, that is the source. But Yahadus demands that a person grows up. And Yahadus demands that a person matures and his intellect should take him beyond the existence of the infantile. And all the midos and all those, the infantile midos are found in the early stages of existence. I mean, that's what Chazal say, that the Mishanina Lotzes mi bet nimo, that the Yetzer Hara has a head start, because it starts very early in the moment he emerges into this existence. So there is no question about it. And really, Avodah Zorah is the same thing. Avodah Zorah is an attempt for man to resolve his difficulties with an infantile framework. There's no question about it. Avodah Zorah, it's rooted in that. But Yahadus demands that a person goes beyond that. And that a person, when he matures, he revises and he rethinks and he sees where the source of these emotions are from, and he abandons them and lives in a reality before God. Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Can you just clarify on how you explain why you need the first limud and you can't just have the second limud?
You can't have the second limud because a person, that's what the Rambam says, there's a tzaddik that's a kovish es yitzro, and there's a tzaddik that's oved me'avo. Okay? A person cannot simply go to become an oved me'avo. Can't do that. Because there are too many irrational things in the world of the instinctual. And he has to be able to counter that. He has to be able to counter that. He has to be able to counter that. He can't simply say he's going to suddenly change his whole philosophical spectrum and he's going to live in the world of reality. It's a nice idea, but it's not that simple. So he has to. The battle takes place on two planes, and the battle has to take place on the plane of the direct attack against the instinctual and recognition of its irrationality as well. Okay? Yes. I'll show you the Rambam. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, where the Rambam says, Misha nesol libo l'kayim mitzvah zu karoi. So the Rambam says by Talmud Torah. So what does it mean, nesol libo? It means that he really wants to enter into the world of Chachmas Hashem. And he wants to abandon the the world of the instinctual. So he says that Zeu Darka Shel Torah, Pas Melach Tochal, you're familiar with the Maimar Chazal, and he says, V'chaye Tzar Techye, U'lefum Tzar Agrad, Ram says. It means that there must also be a battle against the instinctual. Even though he recognizes where he's going, the direction is there. But why does he do it? He does it because he knows that that's the real existence, and that's the greatest and happiest existence. But still, it's impossible to do it without an encounter, a direct encounter with the world of the instinctual. Can't just do it by saying he's going to be a, he's going to abandon the world of the infantile and live in the world of reality. It just can't be done that way. So that's really the limit of the mon. Is on two levels. The limit of the mon is that you what you can do, it gives you the ultimate of what you could do, and it also shows you what you can't do. That you can't just jump to that level of existence. Okay? Yes. One at a time, here you go.
It seems interesting that people are looking for security, and it seems almost like it's a practical disaster that the very security they're looking for, the psychological reasons that they're looking to satisfy other people, and their lack of security ultimately comes from often how other people view them and their whole relationship to other people.
That's correct.
And therefore, it would make sense in Avodah Zarah, that gives them, see, they get that false sense of security without any downside, without any negative.
That's so correct.
It's all accepted.
That's right.
No issues there.
That's correct.
Here they're looking for security, but the people are never really giving it to them. And
that's
they're
correct.
Looking it from the people.
That's correct.
But Avodah Zarah seems to...
to give it from the... To satisfy them. Avodah Zarah satisfies
them. Like they're up calling like easy religion. You know?
That's correct. That's correct. That's
you don't
correct.
Have to work. You don't have to...
You can go with the same instinctual forces and just... and what's not real, you simply you project the imagination onto reality. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The Tzimtzum Torah said it only could have been through the Nisim. Is that because of the shock effect of the Nisim?
Well, a Nis is something which is glaring and which is clear. And without a Nis is something which is hard for a person to deny. But it's something which can advance him in a way that would take years and he would never be able to do because it's simply his emotions would not be moved. So it moves the emotions in a way where the mind has an opportunity to work. Okay, that's really the purpose of a nesim. But that's why all these nesim were necessary in the first door. Without those nesim, the first door could never come into existence. You could never have such a thing. You never have such a matan Torah, you never have such a paper. So the nisim were necessary. But the limud of the nisim is the same limud bizman hazeh as it was then. There is no difference. And someone will ask that how could they deny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out and then in the midbar, and how could they blame Moshe and Aaron? But the answer is that don't underestimate how the human mind can twist things. I mean, you see, simply... You see, Niflos Hashem or Molech Olaretz Kivodo, Niflos Hashem are all over, and a person can say it's all accidental. So a person can deny the unbelievable design in the universe. A person can simply deny it. What could be more? What could be greater than that? I mean, it's staring him in the face. But a person, he'll deny it. He'll say it happened by accident. There is no design. And the most glaring thing an individual can override where the instinctual forces are engaged. And the same thing is true over there. The only thing is that it's easy for us to look back in the past at their situation. But it's the same exact phenomenon. I mean, if a person doesn't learn that, then the limit of Kol HaTorah Kula is worthless for him. A person has to know that is, the mind can always work out an excuse, an answer. That it was their decision, it was Moshe. And in spite of the Amar Onan, they could work out they could still blame Moshe and Aaron. They could say that was done because their leadership, it was really their leadership. But it was a Midas HaChesed that the Amar Onan should assist them, but it was really their mistake. And they made the decision. They made the wrong decision. The person can always twist a thing. There's no end to how an individual can twist reality. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's one more thing, the question of the security. Okay, the question of security. See, interesting, by the way, that's why the limud of the mon, and by the way, the Yom HaShabbos, what does the Yom HaShabbos really have to do with mon? Why does the Yom HaShabbos is Brias Shemayim Varetz? So what does that have to do with Yiridas HaMon? What does that have to do with Yiridas HaMon? But the answer is, because Brias Shemayim Varetz is a recognition of the Borei Olam. But in Yadus, it's not enough for a person to simply recognize the Borei Olam. It must affect him in terms of his perfection. Just to say there's a Borei Olam, recognize Borei Olam, okay, that's fine. But that's not the end of the mitzvah. Really, the recognition of the Borei Olam has to affect his entire existence, his entire life. And that really is the Yom HaShabbos. The Yom HaShabbos is not simply, of course, it's essentially, it's a recognition of the Borei Olam, Bria Shemayim Varetz, and the Yesh Me'ayin, and the Yesod of Kol HaTorah Kulo. But beyond, it goes beyond that. It means that this idea is not an idea which the individual simply must recognize, but it means it must be a part of his existence. If it's a part of his existence, it affects him in every way. That's why, you see, we still have the minhag today of Lech HaMishnah. Why do you have the minhag today of Lech HaMishnah? Because to show you that the recognition of the Borei Olam is not simply a matter that you're moda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to this Borei Olam, but it means that that frame of reference and that frame of existence, that idea is really, to that idea, one must attach a whole frame of existence. And that's the mon. And that's the mon. And it must affect him in every aspect of his life. And that's why the minig is Lech HaMishnah. That's the minig of Lech HaMishnah, really. You see. But in the Torah, you see, the Rashi says an interesting thing over here. Rashi says that, Ve'yema Moshalaran, kach tzen achas, v'sen shomo maloha omer mon. So Rashi says an interesting thing. He says, what do you mean, v'anachos l'fnei Hashem? What does it mean, l'fnei Hashem? It means l'fnei ha'aron, right? But v'lo nemar mikrozeat shenivne ol moed. So how could you have this pasuk over here? There was no ol moed yet. So Rashi says, ela shenichtav kan b'parshas haman. Why? Because the ideas of the mon are the ideas of kol HaTorah Kulo. So the Torah could not leave this area of the mon, which is the framework of the whole perfection of man, and the whole yisod of the Ashkafas Yadus, and the whole Derech HaChayim of Yadus, and the idea that Yedias Hashem is not simply that he's moda in the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that it creates a frame of reference for his whole existence and affects him in every way, that the Torah could not leave that for later, because then it would imply that's an extraneous thing. Okay, take the Tzinsenes Amon. But Tzinsenes Amon is something which, if you understand the ideas of the Mon, you know it has to be L'mishmeres L'dor HaSechem, that it's the Yesod and the Derech HaChayim and Kol HaTorah Kulo. You see? And that's why the pasuk elaborates on the mon. V'nei Yisrael ochras l'mon arboim shana adboim al eretz nashoves. It's a mon ochlu adboim al eretz el k'tzei eretz kanan. Because in the mon was everything. The whole Derech HaChayim of Torah is in the mon. So the pasuk says it over here, even though it's out of place, because it should have been later when there was the Aron. But if we'd say it later, it would be like an extraneous type of a mitzvah. But it's not an extraneous mitzvah. The philosophy of the mon demands that where does the mon belong? Belongs lefnei Aron Eidos, because it's the yisod of Kol HaTorah Kulo. You see, so the pasuk has to be here. There's one more. There's one more thing. The question, Salman's question. Question of the question of the security. Question is here. Yeah, the question of the security. So the idea, the Rashi quotes that, like I said, the mon really has in it all levels of human existence. Like the Rambam says, Mishin Esol Libo L'Kayim Mitzvah Zukaroi. Not everybody can live on the highest level. But the Torah doesn't stint. Just because everybody can't live on the highest level, the Torah doesn't refrain from depicting the highest level. And from giving a person insight for those who can live on that level, the Torah still gives advice for, even though it's a miyut, it's not a rabbin. It's just like the Maharsha says, Har basa krishma meyichai v'lo also b'yadam. Har be'asa. Everybody can't do it like krishma meyichai, but krishma meyichai could do it. So the Rashi mentions that the Tzinsenes Amon, so Rashi mentions the famous Chazal, B'yimei Yirmiyo, Kishehoi Yirmiyo Mochicham, Lomoyin Atem Oskim B'Torah, how come you don't learn Torah? V'hein Omrim Naniach Malachtenu V'nasak B'Torah Me'echon Esparnes, Hotzilem Tzinsenes Amon, Amalem Atem Re'u Dvar Hashem, Shimulonem, Re'u, Bazen Esparnesu Avoseichem, Avoseichem, Harbe Shluchem Yesh Lamakom, Lahochin Mozon Li'areov. So what does it mean? It means to say that the level of security, there is a realistic level of security. And the Torah really demands of everyone that they live in the framework of reality. That's a demand. That's why Yisur Men on Nashim HaBoker, Vayorim Tolom Vayivash. That is inexcusable because it's irrational. It doesn't make any sense. So if a person goes beyond his rational needs, then he's an Avaryon. He's an Avaryon. Could be he's not over Lav Midaraisa, but he's an Avaryon. He's going against the philosophy of Yehudis, because it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. But there still is the question is, what is the level of security? That's the psalm it is. What is the level of security? There's two answers for that. The answer is it depends on the individual. Okay? That there is an the average individual has to ascertain rationally what his level of security is. That's what it is precisely, I can't say. It depends on each yachar, on each individual. But then there's a different level of existence, where for a different type of a person who lives in the reality of existence that's framed by his recognition of the Borei Olam. There's different levels of that existence. And there is a level of existence, for that individual, security has a different type of a gauge. It's a different gauge. You might say he lives on the edge of Ashgacha. He lives on the edge of Ashgacha, which means to say his level of security is determined in a different way. That's what Rashi says, Har b'shluchem yesh l'makom. That's what the Ram says, that lo shevet Levi bovad. But there are rare individuals who, for them, the assessment of what their realistic necessity is in terms of security is on a different plane. Is on a different plane. They live on the edge of Ashgacha. It's a different kind, and such an individual has a right to do so, but he has to be on that level. But that's what it said. That was the Tzinsenes. That's what Yirmiyahu said. But those are Tzinsenes Amon. That's another limud of the Mon. But that limud is not for every individual. That's why the Torah differentiates between Los Asiru, Mimenu Ad Boker, Vayorim Talon, Vayivosh. That's for everybody. But there's another idea in the Mon that an individual has attained a certain level of existence, a different level of existence. His assessment of his necessities is qualitatively differentiated. It's a different kind of an assessment. That's already Haber Shluch Miyesh L'Makam. It doesn't mean that he could simply rely on an ace. That we never say, rely on an ace. Ain't something on an ace. But how an individual evaluates and how he lives, how he evaluates his necessity, depends on his level of existence. For some people, I mean, it must be he simply can't exist unless he could know rationally that he has his security. But for another individual, it is his level of existence is different, and his assessment will be more in line with the fact that he's a nivra, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of his needs. It's a different level of assessment. So what the level of assessment is depends on the level of human existence. That's another limit of the Mon. But like I said, the Mon has many limudim for different people, for different individuals. Okay, yes.
How does a person
The only answer I could say to that is that a person that's on that level knows he's on that level. That's the only answer. That's how Be'oskir B'Shemen Yechai will also be other. You can't do like a B'Shemen Yechai. Many people try to do like a B'Shemen Yechai, but they weren't successful. But B'Shemen Yechai knew that he will be successful. The person knows that his needs, the needs of the individual are different. The needs of such an individual are different, and his assessment of the Ashgacha is different. It's a different kind of a frame of reference. But that's, his needs are different. His needs are certainly different. Because he needs much less. He needs very much less. Because his whole existence is contingent, is the essence of his enjoyments and the essence of his whole life, his happiness and his enjoyment in life is something which is simply chachma. So what are his needs? His needs are reduced tremendously. Person can't do that if he's not satisfied, because then he'll be psychologically frustrated and he won't be able to do it. So he'll be unhappy, and on the contrary. What Chazal say? Anias maveras adam el daito el daskano. So anias is a bad thing. But you see, Hillel was an ani and it didn't affect him. It didn't bother Hillel. So Hillel's needs were different. For Hillel it was fine. But for a regular person will go under. Because he's not on that level, and he'll be frustrated and unhappy, and he won't be able to, he will not be able to exist in a way that's beneficial. So the level of existence and how the determination is made is also hinted to in the Mon, that there are different levels. But this is not for everybody. What's for everybody? The Siman Adbok is for everybody. But to be on the level where a person is a harbe shluchim lamakim, that's a different kind of an individual, different needs and a different view of his existence and the ashgacha, and such a person makes a totally different assessment. Different assessment. That's your meal. Yes. Say it again. The role of Ashgacha of the person is straightforward. The Rambam explains. The role of Ashgacha is that the Ashgacha is always proportionate to the perfection of the individual. That's what the Rambam says. Ashgacha is always in direct proportion to the perfection of the person. The greater the perfection, the greater the Ashgacha. That's also a part of the concept of the individual who lives on a different plane, like I described it. He lives close to the Ashgacha. It means that he's a different kind of existence. It's a different plane of existence. But a person cannot try to be like that. The person who is like that knows, has a different type of his internal world is different, and his assessments are going to be totally different. Okay? Yes?
In the first group, you said that it depends on the individual. What's the criteria?
What do you mean? You mean how does a person assess it?
Right.
Okay. Yes.
I
would answer that question this way. With a famous Chazal. What does Chazal say? Zeu darko shel yetzahara. Hayom omalach hasei kach, omach omalach hasei kach. It means today he tells you get this and you'll be satisfied. But then tomorrow he says, nope, you need that. So that's really the derech of the yetzahara. The derech of the Yetzirah is always to change positions. He doesn't take, if he took one position, that would be it. He'd be finished. Because once that position is realized, his game is over. But the derech of the Yetzirah is today kach and mochar kach. I would say that a person should make a realistic evaluation in their life, and they should look back to the point where they said, this is it. And once it starts changing, then they know it's a tzas Yetzirah, and that's not realistic. That's what I would say. I would say that the first assessment, if a person would not go beyond the first assessment, then he would have a realistic, he'd have at least a basis for a realistic evaluation. But once the person starts moving, and what he has is nothing, and now he moves to another rung, another level, that's a tzas yetzer. That's a tzas yetzer. I would say that would be a method of a realistic evaluation. Okay, but...
What's the change for an individual?
Why does it change for each individual? Because it's a very individual thing, because you can't, what does Chazal say, a bas melech? A person shouldn't marry a bas melech if he's an ordinary person. Because whatever he gives her, she's never going to be happy. So it means to say that a person is affected by their environment and their circumstance, does, from their early outset, does affect the individual. And some of these things are very hard to change. But we're not talking about that. Changing that is already midas chasidus. We're talking about the realistic evaluation. So the realistic evaluation has to be individual, because every person comes from a different from a different background, a different frame, a different framework. In the world of Tivets, is a lot of variables. But the assessment of the variables should be a fixed one. In other words, it shouldn't be that the individual keeps going and going. Suddenly he's drawn up, and now he needs more. But there's another limud here that's tied to that, basically. That's the one I wanted to get to also. Lo hedif hamarbe v'amamid lo hechsir. You see, but there was no real onus over there. That was a special limud. What was that limud? That limud was something else. That limud was a deep idea. It was a deep idea, but it's a limud from the mon, another limud from the mon. But again, it's a limud which not everyone can appreciate because it requires a certain amount of chachma. But the limud is there nevertheless. Lo hedif hamarbe v'amamid lo hechsir. What was that limud? That was a limud that basically the taifas are a fake, are a fraud. That was the limud. Lo hedif hamarbe v'amamid lo hechsir. The limud was that really, in terms of a person's happiness, there is no difference, even though a person fools himself and thinks that it will affect his happiness. That the individual who lives a more luxurious life is not in any way happier than an individual that lives a less luxurious life, even though the illusion is very strong that it will affect his happiness, you see. Very powerful illusion, but it's a complete illusion. Because insofar as the nature of man is concerned, it does not make one iota of difference. Does not make one iota of difference. That's really the limud of lo hedif hamarbe v'amamet lo hechsir. That was a special limud. But again, that they weren't nenash for that. Because that was something which was another limud in terms of the philosophy of the Derech HaChaim. They were only nenash when they went against the yesodos, the two yesodos. And the two yesodos were really the recognition of absolute existence before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that, and also the inability to counter the irrational. But the other things, like the different levels of determining necessity, which was also a limit of the mind, and this concept, that it's simply an illusion that a person is happier in a more luxurious lifestyle, that's a very hot thing. That's not everybody could see that. But like the Rambam says, that only Chachamim Gedolim know that that's true. They know that that's absolutely true, and there's virtually no difference. So it doesn't make any difference if he's a marbo or a mamet. But the illusion is very powerful, and very few people can remove themselves from that illusion. So mostly people come to grips with a certain level. That's the best you can expect, is that the person will come to grips with a certain level. But to really understand the psychology of a human being and to know that it makes no difference, virtually no difference, that's already a hard thing. But that's what Rashi says. That was a nace godol. That was a very important nace, and it was there as a limud in the mon, together with all the other aspects of the great limud of the mon. But it's certain things in the mon, like I said, were there. And Hamevin Yavin, I mean, a person that's on a level, somebody that's on the level can take advantage of it and can really incorporate it in his life and really improve his life to an infinite degree. And for others, they're not on that level. But nevertheless, the Torah did not refrain from completing the whole picture of the limud of the mon on all planes. Okay? Excuse me? In other words, most people do not believe. Most people can't believe that if you show a person a more luxurious lifestyle, he will automatically believe that he's going to be happier in that lifestyle. It's an illusion. He won't be. He's going to be, in a short time, he'll be exactly where he is now. Because the happiness of man is dependent on the internal world, not the external world. But that's only a great chacham really could know that. That's why, how many chacham did you have that really, like, simply were able to shirk and simply abandon the taivas and refuse to involve themselves? You had a few chacham in the world, in the many doros, that, I'm not talking about a person that does it out of a religious type of an attitude. That, there are many people like that. That's not a derech. That's not the derech Torah at all. That's simply no reality. But people that honestly were able to not engage in taivas because their mind knew that there's no advantage here. They're not going to move up at all in terms of their own happiness. That's only a few chachamim were able to do that. Not too many people. That's Echad Amarba. It didn't matter. Marba v'amamed. Echad Amarba. It doesn't make any difference. There's absolutely no difference. That's a special limud that a few chacham in the world were able to come to that conclusion on their own. I mean, a great chachamim, and they lived a lifestyle where, on the contrary, they refrained from engaging in anything which was any luxury which was beyond the necessities. And they realized, they did it out of a realization that it's not going to affect any change in their happiness. And the only thing that will affect the change in happiness is the increase in their knowledge. So, I mean, that's true, and a person that has understanding of the human mind will know that. But not too many people are going to get to that level where they're going to come to that understanding and that level of existence. Nevertheless, like I said before, the Torah incorporated in the limit of the mind. Of course, it's true. It's very true, and it's something which is really at the... That's already, you're dealing with people that are on a very, very high level of existence. Yes?
I was wondering if that was another limit down there, the Mamet Lo Yachta.
Yes.
Like the religious ascetic, that also is a fantasy.
That's correct, though. That's correct, though. That's correct. That's correct, though. That's correct, though. That's correct, though. That's correct, also. I was going to say, that's true. The Marbe is the one that's overcome with the illusion of the illusion that he's that the pleasures are going to give him tremendous satisfaction. That's the Marbe. You see, it's an interesting thing. The Marbe and the Odef are two different things. See, the Marbe is really the short-term taiva. Okay? The lososiru mimenu ad boker is the long-term taiva. But you see, the Torah does not criticize so much the short-term. That's what Chazal called midas rav sonos. Whereas a person shouldn't be a rav son. Reish ayin beis tof nun. Rav son. Chazal said a person shouldn't take a coast and just gulp it down. Rav son. So that's the short-term taiva. In the mon, you have a big distinction between short-term taiva and long-term taiva. Long term is the hoarding. The hoarding, the Torahs, that's where the soul is completely given over to a completely irrational endeavor. Okay? Short term is not so bad. I mean, it's not as bad. That's, okay, when he came home, he found out that he, Nevei Modu Bomber, he came home and he found out he had the same mount. That there's no advantage in being a Rafsam. But that's it. There's a difference between in the mon. Every level is analyzed, and that's a different kind of a thing. A short-term taiva. I mean, he's convinced somehow that this momentary pleasure is going to give him a greater happiness. But that's false. But in the mamet as well, the mamet is wrong also, because the mamet. Is it means to say that the mamet could either be out of a kind of a religious type of emotion, or it could be out of a failure to recognize the reality. To recognize the reality that he's the reality of his necessity. So it was corrected. It was corrected by a modu bama. It was corrected to show him that it was wrong. To show him that it was wrong. That's the fact that Vayamodu Ba'omer was the correction to show that what you did was wrong. That to be Mamet is wrong. To be Marba is wrong. Either way is wrong. The Mamet is the person that either he's on some type of a, like I said, some type of a religious emotion that he wants to, like Chazal say, the Nazir is a chote because he's That's also a chotei. Or because of the fact that he simply fails atzlanos. It means he fails to recognize the reality of his necessities. That's also a bad mina. It could be either one of those two. So the mamet was corrected and the marba was corrected. But there you see the correction was not done in a manner which it was on the same level as Vayesur Meno Noshim Ad Boker, Laman An Aseno Ayelech Besarosim Lo, Rashi just says two things. Those two things. Because that's the basic limud for everyone, and then there's the limud of the mon that goes beyond that into different levels of insight into human life, which not everybody's going to be on that on that trail. The higher the trail gets, the thinner it gets. So that's for Yechidim. But that's basically the limit of the man. But the Tzinsena Saman, that's why Kach Tzinsena Saman. Because in the man is the whole Derech HaChayim. And the whole concept of what the Yom HaShabbos does for a person. It's a completely different concept than just simply the recognition of the Bar Olam. That's, of course, Yisori Yisoros. But it goes beyond that and it permeates the individual's whole Derech HaChayim in every aspect of his life. The Mon is the greatest limud. It's the limud of Kol HaTarakula. Whole Derech HaChayim is in the Mon. Yes?
The rejection of that idea.
Definitely, it's not an all or nothing. Definitely, all these things are definitely subject to a variation of degree. Different degrees. No question about it. And that's really the Melchemes HaChayim is on which level a person is. But no, a person advances in all these areas. I mean, that's the purpose of the Torah. Torah gives you the perfect model, and it teaches you how to approach it and throughout the individual's life to make advances and changes. And when a person is older, I mean, he should be more advanced, and his Derech HaChayim should be different. I mean, everything he does is different. His Shabbos is different. Everything's different. Everything keeps changing. Keeps changing as the individual advances, if he really learns the Torah as a serious limud and applies it to his life. I mean, it's a whole progression throughout his life. Okay, any other questions? Okay, yes.
In terms of David's question of estimating sort of
That's what Chazal say. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says if a person has a chuli aguf, he goes to the physician. If he has a chuli anefesh, he goes to a chacham. So it means that a person who feels that he's in trouble in these areas, he should go to a chacham to help him analyze himself and see where he holds and help him to make a realistic evaluation determined on his level. I mean, on the level of the soul. I mean, it's something which you can't just give a concrete fixed answer for. Okay, it's dependent on the individual. Chazal say a person shouldn't be a rafsan. So he shouldn't be a rafsan in Maisa. Why? What's the difference? The answer is by not being a rafsan, it should remind them of an idea. Maybe now that idea won't register in terms of changing his life at this moment. Maybe 20 years from now it will. You see, I mean, Chazal really, the Derech HaTorah is that it arms the individual with ideas. And as the person goes through life, these ideas start clicking. I mean, if he's improving, they start clicking. So that's really the Derech HaChayim. But to give a concrete advice, Chazal don't do that. They give you everything that's necessary for the system, the application of the system. But you can't give concrete advice because different for this, even for the same person, different stages in their life. I mean, depends. Depends where the individual's at.
What about
Kadesh Atzmacha? Yeah, Kadesh Atzmacha, a certain thing, that's correct. Kadesh Atzmacha b'mutalach is a general principle. But how much? Doesn't say how much. But that's correct. Chazal give that advice. Kadesh Atzmacha b'mutalach means that a person should be able to refrain from certain things that he doesn't need, from certain luxuries. That is unbelievable advice. I mean, it goes against the whole society that we live in. That to our society, that's crazy. I mean, I should refrain from a luxury that I can indulge in. I mean, that's craziness. No, that's Chazal give beautiful advice, that a person should be able to do that. by doing that, he's setting himself on a road, on a course that will eventuate with greater progress. But yes, Chazal give you the underlying first step. That's right. If a person can't hear the idea of Kaddish Asmacha B'Mutalach, then he's off course. He knows he's off course. That's a sign he's completely off course. If the idea doesn't register as something that makes sense, he's off course. Okay? Let me tell you, what Rambam's talking about is, in Pas B'Melach, the Rambam is saying, that you can't just direct your energies into Torah. You have to extricate them from other areas. You have to remove them from where they're invested. So, and that's a painful thing. That's what Ram means. That a person who is really wants to be on the highest level, Misha Nesol, Libo Lakayim, Mitzvah Zukaroi, that's the highest mitzvah, the greatest mitzvah, Talmud Targanai Kulam. So that's the greatest mitzvah. A person should not think that he can accomplish that without pain, because he's making a mistake. Because it means that he thinks he could just find learning is enjoyable, it's very pleasurable. What's more enjoyable than learning? I can't think of anything. So it's the greatest enjoyment. So a person will think, look, that's so enjoyable, all I need to do is just learn that enjoyment. But I don't have to go through a painful process of withdrawal of energies that are tied into other areas. So that's wrong. That a person, an average person, is never going to do that. Because an average person can't tolerate pain, and therefore to withdraw emotions, which are very painful, from Tzaira Agra, is a very painful process. For most people, it's not going to happen. That's what Rambam prefaces it. Mishin is so libo l'kayim zukaroi. It requires a certain level of existence beforehand for this venture. But the Rambam is saying one thing, that the venture will never be able to be accomplished as long as the person that's Mishin misrapa atzmas mamasane. He likes the luxuries, and he also likes to enjoy ideas. That's very nice. But he's not, and he's that's a high level too. But that's not the level that Rambam's talking about. Rambam's talking about a really high level. In the really high level, the individual knows that he has to make a painful withdrawal of his emotional investments. And it's very painful. And then when he frees that energy, then he can direct it to Chachmas HaTorah. But like I said, that's not every person is going to even get near this. I mean, this is already the highest level. But, like I said, that level is the real level. The real level of existence, yes? The reason to preserve, that's what I'm trying to say. That's what Rashi says, this pasuk is out of place, but for a very good reason. The reason why it was placed lifnei Arona Eidos was not that people should look at it, in fact, couldn't go in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, can't go in there. But it means the reason why it was done was to demonstrate the idea, that this is Kol HaTorah Kulo. Look at the Mon, look into the limit of the Mon. The Mon is very important. The Torah is their own edus, is the essence. But don't think that you can do it without the mon, without the limit of the mon. So that's why hanachos lefnei edus lemishmeres. But lemishmeres means not that we in the system of Yahadis, the ideas are what we're impressed with, not the physical things. So it was lemishmeres, it wasn't kashya kadoshim. So nobody even could see it. But it was known that that's there. Why? For the limud. The limud that this is the derech of Kol HaTorah Kulo. Okay? Yes. I'm trying to say, you're asking a good question. Why is it all more like a goal for everyone? You want what? Yeah. But the thing is like this. Let me put it this way. Why the Torah is a good question. Okay? That the Dr. Orbeck is a good question. The question is like this: why is it that Omar Lagogolas and everybody is a different physically, is a different size? But I think the concept over there is that there's very little variation when you get down to the basic needs. In the Taivas, there's a world of variation. Okay, but when you get down to the basic necessities of man, it's pretty much the same. That's what the limud is. And the concept of the mon was that a person who lives on the highest level, the Fnei Hashem, like I mentioned before, is in the world of necessity. And necessity is there's very little variation there. That's another limud. Now, where you come into variation, you're going beyond necessity. That's what it was that way. Okay. I just want to mention one more thing. I mean, just to show how complete the picture of the mon is in terms of the limud. Now, Yaakov asked a question. What's the idea of Chazal say that it had different tastes? The answer is, because there the Torah recognizes that, and it's true, that if a person would eat the exact same thing every time, they could never be satisfied. And the Torah didn't make that kind of a demand on the people. That's a psychological necessity. You can't eat the same thing, the same taste, day in, day out. And the Torah didn't make any demand like that on a person. So that's why it had different tastes, to show that the Torah recognizes what is a psychological necessity in eating as well. And the mon satisfied that too. So everything was gauged with precision to in terms of what is a necessity and in terms of what is not. Okay?
Yeah,
complaint.